been waiting all week for this, and here it is. The Illegal Curve Radio Show starts now. Here comes 2 hours of hard-hitting hockey talk, and here's your host, Drew the Bear Mindell. Love it.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those listening live tonight on www.ustream.tv/IllegalCurve, good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Radio Show. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours tonight here on Kick FM. We have an action-packed show in store for you. Coming up in about 20 minutes' time, we're going to be joined by player agent Anton Thun of the M5 Sports Agency. With him, we're going to discuss the Ilya Kovalchuk ruling coming up at 8:20 p.m., As you know, here on the Illegal Curve Radio Show, we have a very strong community-minded mandate, and whenever we can give back to the community, we're pleased to do that. That's why we're going to be joined by Wade Davison. He's from the Believe in the Dream, Believe in the Goal Foundation, where tomorrow night at the MTS Center, there's the Superstar Summer Showdown, where all funds raised go to benefit cancer patient care. So we're going to talk to Wade about that fabulous charity event that's coming up at 8:20 tonight, and of course the event is tomorrow night. Until then, I am Drew Mindell, the host of this fine program, joined across the glass tonight, sitting in the host seat, the one that I normally occupy, Richard Pollock. Welcome to the program.
You know, I'm honored, Drew, to be in your seat tonight. It's quite a privilege.
Big shoes to fill, as they say.
You know, you've set big shoes to fill and set quite a precedent.
Just sitting in the seat has already made you stumble over your words.
I know. You know, I can't live up to your expectations.
It's okay. You can just do your best. That's all we ever ask of you, Richard, is just to do your best. Right across from Richard, I can't quite see him at the moment, but I know that he's there. He's manning the R desk. You're next, Ezra. Don't worry, you're next, Ezra. He's manning the R desk right now. You can join him on Ustream tonight. You can chat with him, have a good conversation, whatever's on your mind in the hockey world. Michael Remus, welcome to the program.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for having me.
I don't think I have your mic on.
Oh, what? Drew, come on.
Yeah, Drew.
You said he was the yellow mic across the window,
and suddenly you're not filling in for Denise so well.
No, I'm red.
You're red. Sorry, I've red, yellow, and white. Sorry, now I got it. Now I got that right.
I knew you're colorblind, Drew.
And Ezzy, what mic do you have?
I'm white mic.
You're white, and Richard, you're what?
Yellow.
You're Richard Yellow. Okay, I'm making notes here so that we got this underway.
Pretty sure we did this 2 minutes before we came on air.
I screwed it up. I'll admit my errors. I screwed it up. And, of course, we just heard from him. Ezra Ginsberg, welcome to the program.
Happy Ramadan, Drew.
It is Ramadan. I believe it is the start of Ramadan.
Tomorrow.
This evening?
I think it starts this evening, yes.
Full credit to anybody who celebrates Ramadan, to the letter of the law.
You
fasting
fast
from day to night?
Drew?
From sunrise to sundown? I could barely stay awake for that long, never mind not eat or drink. So full credit to anybody who does solemn and dignified Ramadan to all those out there. Let's start tonight with the Ilya Kovalchuk ruling. Decision came down Monday from arbitrator Richard Block.
Late Monday.
Decision came down from arbitrator Richard Block.
Which will be a question that we discuss later with respect to why the NHLPA... The arbitrator, stop mm-hmm. right there, Drew, the arbitrator had to be mutually agreed upon.
That's right. Both sides had to agree upon him.
Suggested Block, and the NHLPA agreed. And while Block has ruled in favor of players in sports leagues before, he was considered by most to be a league-friendly arbitrator. So it was somewhat of a peculiar decision by the NHLPA, and maybe the lack of leadership was a factor there, that they decided to have Block be the arbitrator in this situation.
You know, if you're a sports fan, the name might ring a bell to you, because he was the arbitrator involved in the NFL Terrell Owens dealings from a few years ago, when Terrell was traded to Baltimore and then he wasn't, and he was a free agent and then he wasn't. Anyways, he does have experience in this, and he sided in favor of Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that could explain
Terrell.
Jeez, I didn't realize Mrs. Owens was in the crowd
Cole
here with
Stefanski
us.
Wouldn't be very happy with the way you've been pronouncing that.
I heard Cole on Monday night on our way to hockey. He had me in stitches of the Big Vols football show.
Yeah, very good show.
Anyways, Ilya Kovalchuk is now a free agent. Let's talk about that. Richard, I'm going to turn it over to you. You read the ruling.
I did.
You are the articling law student in the room.
Okay. And the thing is, Drew, you got a call there, so you may want to pick that up. The fact is, well, I guess you asked, you said about Kovalchuk being a free agent. So, Ezzy, why don't we talk about Kovalchuk being a free agent before we talk about the ruling itself? And, yeah, I mean, they ruled that he is, the contract is void and he's now a free agent, or invalid. So the contract, so he's now a free agent. And while the Devils probably have first dibs, according to Kovalchuk's mom, reports say that she thinks that they're going to negotiate again with him and they'll get something done. The Kings apparently are interested once again. Why wouldn't they be? Because they were before. And apparently there's a couple of teams, the reports yesterday stated that a couple of teams are offering or willing to offer Kovalchuk a one-year maximum deal. And so the maximum deal is interesting because that's something we suggested to Doug McLean on the June 30th show here. Why not somebody offer Kovalchuk a one-year pact, give him a lot of money, no risk really for the team except for the investment in terms of cash. And for Kovalchuk, you make a lot of money 1 year, you prove your worth, and you get a contract long-term the year after.
You have to wonder if the New Jersey Devils are considering that, because I think anything above 11 or 12 years is off the table.
Guys, we have a caller. Brad is on the line. He wants to talk about the Kovalchuk ruling.
All right, Brad. Brad,
are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the program, Brad.
All right. Well, I did think that the NHLPA might have done actually a smarter decision by actually agreeing with the guy who might have with the arbitrator who signed with the league, because I think they're realizing that if they fight for this issue, it's going to be a compounded issue throughout, and it might end up with another strike or walkout.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it benefits them? In I realize that in terms of the big picture, do you think that it benefits them right now, though, to have a contract worth a lot of money being voided, and then possibly having other contracts before for lots of, you know, for hundreds of millions of dollars, possibly be deemed to be void as well?
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines it might have been just by the numbers, it was too long of a period. I mean, maybe if they limited to that he can only play until 40 or maybe 35.
Right, right.
It was like maybe a 7 to 8 year contract might have been acceptable, but a 14-year contract, I think, was just something that they could not take that farther step with. So it might just end up that they have it by case-by-case basis where it's down to money and years in and the players' age.
See, I think I understand your point. My worry, though, is that if that were to be the case, and maybe it is, the PA would have kind of happened upon that as opposed to actually strategically plan that kind of idea. Because at the end of the day right now, Brad, this organization, this union is completely in complete and total disarray.
Complete and total shambles.
And so I think that while it may, I don't necessarily see how it benefits them, especially because I worry that the NHL is once again throwing its muscle around. And in this situation, once they have that precedent, I mean, the fact that the NHL is apparently going back on to looking at contracts, and we're going to ask Anton Thun about this next segment, they're going back to look at contracts that were already signed and approved and played under. It seems to me like they think the PA has absolutely no strength or no backbone, quote-unquote, right now, because there's no leadership there. And so, while maybe it is beneficial to them, I think that the PA certainly hasn't planned it that way. And so that's what worries me.
Well, I agree with that. But I think for the most part, maybe because there is such a disarray, they're letting this one go. And and so that they're going to actually try to pick their battles a little bit better. Because, I mean, if they're unprepared to fight on this, and really it wasn't that, I don't think it was much of a bigger issue because it was such a huge and time-consumed contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, 14 years is a long time.
Yep.
But I think that if they pick their battles, which the ones that they know that they can win, like, for example, contracts that have already been approved and are actually being played through,
right,
I think they can actually have a much better success rate. I think with this one, it was going to be hard-pressed to say that to find people that were going to defend it.
I think there is some truth to that, and maybe they are picking their battle, but I guess I'm just, you know, you kind of grow up under the Bob Goodenow PA in that they didn't give anything up, and while it might have sometimes been maybe at the expense of you know, the success of the, you know, the success and maybe cohesiveness of the PA, at the end of the day, they never give anything up to the NHL, and they benefited from that, I think, through negotiations. I think giving something up to the NHL too easily is going to be something that they're going to look back upon and say, well, sure, you know, you can win some, you lose some, but putting up a bigger fight probably would have benefited us in the end.
Brad, thanks very much for the call. We got to leave it there.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Brad.
You know, I'm personally was surprised at the ruling.
Okay, now, let's go back to that for a second.
Okay.
Because I said to you, I sat in the chair to my left here,
yeah,
as you would say.
Exactly.
And I said to you and Ezzy, I said, I think the NHL will win. And my rationale was not so much the law, because I think the law was, it was sketchy footing. At best, it was that the NHL wouldn't have done this unless they thought they could win.
Well, okay, then that brings us, that's a good point, that's a fair point. What did you think, what do you think the NHL saw? You know, let's go back in time two weeks ago. What did the NHL see?
They saw an opening, but I think more so, Ezzy, I think that they saw an absolutely...
Did they just see an enfeebled organization?
I thought that's exactly right, Drew. They saw a union without leadership. They saw a union without any kind of cohesiveness. A union in factions. Like essentially, it's like the Iraq. You know, if you want to analogize it, there's so many different factions and different groups of people who have different values and different beliefs. That without that cohesiveness, without a leader, Drew, they felt like they could take advantage of the PA, and they were absolutely 100% right.
Because as far as what this contract, you know, does to the NHLPA and basically, you know, the contracts in the future, it doesn't really do that as much, you know, as you know, would warrant a, you know,
well, Drew,
a claim like this, because all of these other contracts were front-loaded. The front-loaded contract has been around since, what, 06, 07?
Longer than that.
Remember before that.
The Fedorov 98 one was front-loaded for 3 years. And
right.
Stakic
with
Rangers.
The post-lockout front-end-loaded contract is not anything new. So
right.
It's not like they were worried that this front-end-loaded contract was going to, you know, spur a bunch of front-end-loaded contracts. If anything, Kovalchuk was the last big name
probably
to get one of these front-end-loaded contracts. Everyone will remember that Crosby's contract, I think he signed for 6 years or 7 years. Crosby could have easily signed for more than that, but you knew that Crosby, if anything, Crosby would have got the most ridiculously front-end loaded contract, and he would have been making...
Funny enough, the Crosby and Ovechkin ones just basically paid them what they're worth.
Right.
Actually, Crosby's undervalued, to be honest with you.
Right, and with
Crosby's Crosby has 3 more years left in his deal. That's 8.7 a year.
And Richie, if anything,
if he's undervalued, what's he going to get on his next contract?
More.
This whole deal is battle lines being drawn for the next negotiation process, and... you know, if you compare, you know, specifically Luongo or Hossa's contract, they were 3 years shorter, 4 years shorter, whatever, give or take a year, 3 or 4 years shorter, and the salaries that they were getting at the end of their career were more so akin to the salaries that some of the other big-time superstars were getting, which is like $1 million, $2 million.
One of the things that the arbitrator said in the ruling, Ezzy, was he spoke about the fact that at the end of the contract, Kovalchuk's deal... At the end of Kovalchuk's deal, the salary he'll be getting will be $500,000, and that's the minimum salary in the National Hockey League today. So it won't be the minimum salary, taking into account inflation, what it will be in 15 years from now. So he's claimed that was obviously an unrealistic possibility, which it is.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the flaws there, if Lamoriello would have thought this out better. I think Luongo's deal that goes to $1 million, you know, that could still be minimum salary, but for a 40-year-old goaltender, it's probably market value.
Well, you have to think that if this contract was, let's say, 13 years, 13 or 14 years, maybe even 15 years, and the annual salary that Kovalchuk was getting in the last couple of years was maybe $1 million to $2 million, this contract probably would have gone through.
I agree. Grossman pushed the envelope here.
He pushed the envelope
just
to get the average salary to a number that they wanted. You could tell this contract. The problem with this contract, without getting into why it was rejected by the NHL, is that they tried to rework this math so they get at $6 million, because the Devils aren't actually in a very good salary cap position.
They're not at all. I don't know why they're actually not spending some. They should be getting Cabrera and forgetting about Kovalchuk.
Well, I mean, they basically see that if they give up Kovalchuk, there's no one else that they're going to get at his age and his skill level. But I mean, the problem with the way they made this deal, and you know, Grossman ended up getting a very good deal that was
he got his client the most money, and then he got it under the system that and the way he needed to get it, but it wasn't the right way.
Well, the numbers were all over the place. The numbers go up and down like a chart, you know.
What's the end game here, guys? Where does Kovey end up? We all expect.
I think
previously expected that he's still going
to
end up in New Jersey under a reworked deal.
You can't sign him in New Jersey to a reworked deal similar to Hossa and those guys. If those guys are under investigation right now.
I mean, so is he just stuck in the middle of nowhere?
A lot of people are talking right now about a 7-year, $60 million deal, something like that, or like Richie mentioned, there's...
Can you front load it? I mean, what are the rules now?
Another issue, sorry to interrupt, another issue I saw with the ruling and that arbitrator Block pointed out was the no-move clause moves to a no-trade clause at the end. So instead of being able to stash a guy in the minors, instead of not being able to stash a guy in the minors, you are able to. So again, another thing, Lamoriello, while he tried to evade the system here somewhat, obviously that was the case, there's two big things. There was a minimum salary at the end of the deal, and the no-move clause also. Again, these are red flags. Those are red flags, guys. I mean, those are draw attention to their intention, draw attention to the intention of the parties.
I just am always skeptical about somebody being able to read intent into what somebody else is doing.
Well, that's a whole question we have later on for Anton Fenn in terms of did the arbitrator read the intention of the parties, being the PA and the NHL? Did he read in that intention maybe basically exceeding his powers, but read into it more than he should have, considering that the issue before him? And I think he did, to be honest. I thought he did. I thought the if you look at the clause that they're going under, and I want to read this to the listeners because I think it's important. The NHL claimed that the SPC, which is a standard player contract, is intended to or has the effect of defeating or circumventing the provisions of the CBA. They basically said that SPC is rejected pursuant to the CBA section 116A1 because it is or involves a circumvention of the club's upper limit. I mean, that's the wording that you're going under? I still can't believe that's the wording that they're going under. I mean, sure, you could have a chance, but to win so overwhelmingly, reading this ruling, guys, as I hold it up, it was pretty overwhelming. And there's a couple of red flags in there to me about in terms of how the ruling went down, that it seemed very odd that that clause would elicit this strong of a reaction and support for the NHL's position, because I just didn't see it. I'm not a labor lawyer, I'm not a contract specialist here, but again, I'm just reading Drew, like, let me read it to you again. Because it is or involves a circumvention of the club's upper limit.
That's my point.
I can see the base there. I can see a possible argument, but I mean, I think they're reaching a bit there. There was no over clause in the CBA saying if a team tries to blank, and I realize that sometimes they don't actually put clauses like that in, but they have something along those lines generally in more legal language. I just didn't necessarily think that was the intention of that clause, but they left it open-ended enough that they ended up using it.
So, well, I mean, and maybe that was deliberate. Who knows? I mean, it's just that's the problem that I see.
Didn't they have, in terms of the arguments before the arbitrator, didn't they have the two drafters, a couple of the drafters argue for both sides? So I'm not so sure if that was the intention, or if you put 100 lawyers in the room and they left a flaw in the system.
Well, I can't believe lawyers can make a mistake.
Lots of mistakes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to break.
Okay. Go to break. We'll leave it there. When we come back, Anton Thun, player agent for M5 Sports. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
And now, the difference between a few drinks and being a dummy. This young man has had a few drinks.
Hi, wanna dance?
Sure.
And now, a few too many drinks.
Hey, baby, she wanna...
Oh, gross, my shoes.
So what's so great about drinking until you're a dummy? Seriously, be undrunk. And find out how you can win a MacBook, iPod, or iTunes gift card at beundrunk.com.
A message from the MLCC.
Does this sound like your day? This is Dr. Kyle Smith. Day-to-day stresses can rob you of energy, so you feel more exhausted, unable to remember even the simplest things or focus on the task at hand. If this sounds familiar, then you need an energy makeover with Focus Up, the delicious Pure Energy Think Drink. Just add to water or your favorite cold drink, and the energy-rich nutrients will help you feel more energized for hours while improving focus, mood, memory, and alertness. And unlike sugary or artificial energy drinks, Focus Up is made with natural ingredients. And because Focus Up is a delicious powder supplement, not a pill or capsule, it speeds absorption. Try Focus Up now and find out how you can get a box for free when you call this number.
This product absolutely endorsed by Captain Audio and alternative health genius Stephen Hanks. Call Stephen 770-4414, email this program, or go to focusup.ca.
Funky, fashionable, or just plain understated? If you're looking for the best in eyewear, look no further than the Focal Point Optician on the University of Manitoba campus. Great looking frames at great prices, great contact lenses too, eye exams available on site, and an experienced staff focused on making sure your eyewear needs are taken care of. That's the Focal Point way. Make your way to 121 University Center Building at the U of M or call 474-7090.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve radio show on this Wednesday night. A little Bruce Springsteen
little
for
boss.
Richard.
Little boss.
Yeah, a little new school boss as opposed to the old school boss. I hope that's still okay with you, Rich.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve radio program. We're here. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock here on this Wednesday night in beautiful downtown Winnipeg. We're thrilled to be joined on the line now from the M5 Sports Agency, Anton Thun. Anton, welcome to the Illegal Curve radio show.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Anton, we're obviously going to start with the Kovalchuk ruling, and we're thrilled that you're able to join us. Were you surprised by the decision by Richard Block?
A little bit surprised. You know what? I think it was a situation, guys, where the arbitrator had the ability to go either way, but at the end of the day, the letter of the CBA, the black and white of the CBA, would have, in my mind, tended to have him rule in favor of the club and Kovalchuk and reinstating the contract.
Anton, in terms of the NHL's rejection of this contract, and to me the timing was somewhat odd, in that these contracts have kind of been building up and building up and building up. Why did the NHL suddenly decide to reject this contract as opposed to all the other ones before it?
Well, I think you'd probably have to ask them for their rationale, because I think you're right, it has been building up, but I think there are a number of provisions in this contract that perhaps tended to be a little bit more extreme in effect than some of the other contracts, including the length of the sort of tail end of the contract being 6 years, the number in that contract being at the very low end. There being a change in the provision from no movement clause to a no movement clause to a no trade clause. Variety of factors. At the end of the day, I think those are all factors that come into play. Having said that, I think that the contract was freely bargained between the NHL team and the player, and there are, to my belief, no restrictions in the collective bargaining agreement specifically that disallow any of those mechanisms. And as an agent, the reality of it is we're trying to load up a contract at the front end of the deal rather than the back end of the deal in case something happens to our clients.
In your opinion, how much did the NHLPA's organizational problems and lack of a top leader impact their ability to present a strong case?
I'll be honest with you, I don't think it had any impact at all. I, having said that, I wasn't in the room. I was not party to the litigation, the arbitration that was taking place. And I think, quite honestly, the only people who can accurately make that assessment are people that were in the room, and I'd be remiss in really making any judgment on that at all, not having been there.
We're joined on the line by Anton Thun of the M5 Sports Agency. Now, Anton, sort of a general question regarding contracts in this day and age. What do you advise your clients if a team presents a long-term deal to them? Do you think they're beneficial for players, or is it sort of on a case-by-case basis?
I think everything has to be analyzed on a case-by-case basis. You know, the at the end of the day, a long-term deal provides a level of security to your client. The issue specifically with that client is he of a belief that he's maximizing his value during that term, or is he actually creating a huge discount for the club for the value of that security? And I think that's what you take into account. Every player is a little bit different, guys, in terms of the risk that they're willing to take. Again, it really comes down to the value of that contract as well, and if you believe that you're close to market value or within a reasonable range of that market value over the term of the contract, as best as you can analyze that at this point in time, then you go ahead and do it. If you believe that you're significantly undervalued, then I would never recommend that a client accept a long-term deal. There are other ways that you can cover off your client's risk element, including insurances that are available to the player.
Anton, two questions in terms of the ruling, or maybe the argument first and then the ruling. And my first question is, it says in the ruling itself by Arbitrator Block that the NHL's argument is basically based, and people know this now, based on the CBA section 116A1, quoting it, saying that because it is or involves a circumvention of the club's upper limit. If you were just reading that and going through the CBA, which I'm sure you have, if you were just reading that clause, would you read that to mean and to be interpreted the way that Judge Block did in the NHL's favor?
Well, let's be accurate here. Richard Block is not a judge. He was just an arbitrator in this. He's not a judge.
That's right. Sorry, I said arbitrator.
Yeah, he's just a hired arbitrator and you know, has never served as a judge to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't read it that way, to be honest with you. I think, having said that the NHL lawyers and Bob Batterman in particular were going to try to hang their hat on any provision in the collective bargaining agreement that even remotely was close to allowing them to make a case, and that included the circumvention of the upper limits and so on and so forth. The circumvention of the upper limits is really an indirect way of getting to the point that this contract was structured to reduce the value of the annual average value of the contract by extending it out over a 17-year period of time, which in turn allowed the New Jersey Devils to get under the upper limit.
Second question, in terms of the actual ruling itself, and it seemed odd to me, you know, the issue was the Kovalchuk contract and if it was valid or not, and if it violated those specific sections that we just mentioned. But in the footnotes on page 19, I'm not sure if you've read the ruling. But
I've read it.
Okay, yeah, I figured you probably had. And he states in the footnotes, quote it, first, while the contracts have, in fact, been registered, their structure has not escaped league notice. Those SBCs are being investigated currently with at least the possibility of a subsequent withdrawal of the registration. Now, he's talking about Luongo and Hossa, et cetera. How does that come into play, and why does he bring those contracts up?
Quite honestly, I'm dumbfounded that he makes reference to them in the ruling, whether that be in the footnote or the main body of it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, the fact that the league is reviewing those contracts is absolutely irrelevant to the Kovalchuk case and should have absolutely no impact on this determination. And it's funny that you asked that question because I've got a note put in the side column beside that, basically with a reference to two letters, which were B and S.
Well, Anton, going back to the comment about the league, you know, reviewing the previously approved contracts. It seems like they would have the difficulty. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, legally, can they go back and retroactively cancel that something that they've already approved?
Well, there are provisions in the collective bargaining agreement, to my knowledge, that allow them to register a contract with a caveat that they're still being reviewed. Okay, and that gives them the ability, to my knowledge, under the CBA, to continue to review that. But having said that, I think there have to be reasonable limitations on that review that takes place, and in particularly the timeliness of the review. Okay, so you know, one of the contracts that they're talking about potentially reviewing is Marian Hossa's contract. Well, Marian Hossa's already played a year under that contract,
right.
So I'm not quite sure how the league can retroactively reject a contract when the player's already been playing under that contract, and in fact when that player's cap hit has already been used in a prior NHL season. I think, you know, there's the ability, and it might make a little bit of sense, that in the case of an extension of a contract where a player like a Luongo or others who were under contract that had the ability to extend their contracts, yet those contracts have not yet come into place, which would have been the case in some instances up until July 1st, where contracts were extended during the 2009-2010 season pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement. But effectively, come July 1st, those contracts are now in play. Those contracts are relevant to the cap hit and the upper limits and the lower limits for each of the clubs commencing July 1st. So I can see there being some relevance to a contract being reviewed, But I would like to think that that review process should, in fact, end at or prior to the date when that contract truly becomes effective. And HOSA's contract is effective. The other contracts are effective as of July 1st, because the teams that signed those contracts with the players are now using those as cap numbers.
Sure. Do you think arbitrator blocks interpretations of the intentions of the Devils, the NHL, and the NHLPA were, you know, basically outside the scope of his responsibilities?
When you say the intentions of the Devils, the NHLPA, and the NHL, I'm not quite sure what you're alluding to.
Well, basically,
you can clarify that.
Yeah, and it seemed like within the reading the ruling, he was his interpretation of the intentions of the NHL and the NHLPA within with coming to the CBA agreement, that it was for he was basically putting his own interpretation, his own kind of spin on how the NHL and NHLPA came to that agreement, as opposed to kind of just reading the contents of the CBA for what they were.
Yes, yes. So to that point, and again, you mentioned the Devils. So the Devils are a different party to that.
Right.
So more specifically, when I think you're referring to the fact that he notes that the intent of the CBA is to affect the competitive balance, and the payroll system ranges are designed to implement that, and so on and so forth. And quite honestly, I don't have any faith in the fact that Richard Block took the liberty to actually add wording to the collective bargaining agreement when there was no wording necessary.
Right.
The words of the collective bargaining agreement are what they are. There is nothing in the collective bargaining agreement nor the preamble to it that cites the purpose of the agreement. It's a collective bargaining agreement. It's a contract. Read the contract and implement what it says. Don't add to the contract. And I think, quite honestly, Mr. Block has been reading too many press clippings of Mr. Bettman, where Mr. Bettman infers that the whole purpose of the CBA is to create a competitive balance. Well, maybe from their perspective that was it, but they didn't include that reference in the CBA, and I don't understand why anyone in making a determination about the CBA should in fact impute that intent to both the NHL and the NHLPA.
I guess, we obviously both kind of have issues with, all of us really have issues with a number of Richard Block's, decision, not the main decision, but also the rationale behind the decision.
Yeah.
Agreeing to arbitrator Block, was that maybe the NHL, forget the actual argument within the hearing, is that maybe the NHL's biggest mistake, NHLPA's biggest mistake, is agreeing to Richard Block being the arbitrator?
Well, you know what, I can't, it may be, but at the end of the day, guys, I guess I wasn't in the room to see what the other options were, and the reality of it is it's the summertime. There was some sense of urgency to get this resolved, okay, both on Ilya Kovalchuk's behalf and probably on the club's behalf. I think that the media, quite honestly, has overplayed the significance of Kovalchuk's decision, or the lack of a firm decision in relation to this contract, and its impact on the National Hockey League as being a dampening effect, because quite honestly I think it's probably a one-off and is somewhat irrelevant to what is happening in most of the other cities of the National Hockey League, who already have their rosters in place. But having said that, there was some urgency from the player standpoint and from the team standpoint to get this done. It's the summer. A lot of people are on vacations.
Right.
There probably was a very limited pool of arbitrators that were willing to handle this, who had the appropriate level of expertise with the National Hockey League rather than in other business situations, whether that be an airline or the auto workers or somebody like that. And I guess he was available.
Anton, I'm going to leave you with this question. There's been a lot of talk on Twitter, I follow a lot of the reputable journalists on there, and a lot of them are saying that the contract that was rejected by by Richard Block with his ruling was not a good contract for the NHLPA and the players as a whole. Do you want any comment on that?
Well, you know what? I'm not quite sure You know what? I think there's a lot of people buying into the purple Jesus juice that Gary Bettman has been spilling all over the floor over the last 3 or 4 years as to what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. The reality of it is every player in the National Hockey League has the ability to negotiate a contract freely within the confines of the collective bargaining agreement. Ilya Kovalchuk is one of those players, and he happens to be an elite player that was attempting to utilize the black and white wording of the collective bargaining agreement to maximize his value. Okay? I think every player has that right. Now, not every player will have the ability to do so in the manner that Ilya Kovalchuk was able to do so, because they don't have the ability that Ilya Kovalchuk has. Right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not slamming anybody, but we structure contracts based on the individual.
Of course.
And this contract was structured based on the wants, needs, desires, and abilities of Ilya Kovalchuk and the New Jersey Devils. We did exactly the same thing in our firm with Vincent LeCavalier with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And not every player has the good fortune to be in that situation. And I don't think it's a bad contract for the players. I think it utilizes the provisions of the CBA. Some of those provisions of the CBA will probably have to be modified on a going forward basis that will potentially not allow for this modification or manipulation of the CBA to allow a contract of this extent. But hey, everything's a work in progress. And the reality of it is, this is a new CBA. This summer's marketplace is very different than last summer's marketplace, which is very different than the summer before. And that's a reflection of how everybody is getting used to the CBA. And we operated under a CBA that was similar in form for about 20 years. Now, for the last 5 years, we've had something that's been dramatically different. And who knows what we're going to have 2 years from now when we have a new CBA.
Speaking of the new CBA, as hockey fans here, should we be holding our breath regarding a potential work stoppage?
I hope not. I would like to think that saner heads can prevail. But you know what? The owners in the last collective bargaining agreement went out of their way, and perhaps that was Gary Bettman, or perhaps that was Gary on behalf of the owners, to try to really slam the players, okay? And they put a cap on top of a cap on top of a cap, yet they still don't seem to be happy with the structure of what they've arrived at, because it doesn't seem to create the model that Gary, in his infinite wisdom, had the ability to negotiate when he had the players down on the floor. So if Gary's intent is to put the players on the floor again, then that's unfortunate, because I think that there's other issues that need to be solved that are more important to both the league and to the players that can be resolved in an amicable and reasonable manner by negotiating in good faith, and then everybody can have their piece of the pie.
Well, here's hoping. Anton Thun from M5 Sports, thanks very much for joining us tonight on the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks,
take care.
Thank you, Anton. Thanks very much.
Good night.
Good night. I mean, great insight.
Yep.
I mean, I thought he was, candid.
Yep.
And honest about his feelings and about how he thought that Richard Blocks overstepped his.
The reason we got him on the show.
His bounds. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to hear it from an agent who doesn't really have a perfectly vested interest, but
well,
I mean, obviously he's got a vested interest,
sure.
But it's not directly on point. He's not Kovalchuk's agent. And of course, we did try and get Jay Grossman on the program again. But we'll try and get Jay on some point this summer.
Yeah, he's been on us before. He'll be on again.
Yeah.
Right now is a little busy time.
Okay. He has in the contract to negotiate.
That's very true, Drew.
Yeah. Let's leave it there, guys. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk Thomas Cabrera. His no-trade clause kicks in, and the Finnish Flash is not ready to flash out into retirement.
Good thing.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.
92.9 Kick FM introduces you to the Beendigan College Studies at Red River College, a program for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit students who have been out of school for a while. It's a one-year certificate program that helps Aboriginal students achieve the required prerequisites and skills to transfer into other college programs of their choice. Beendigan College Studies supports the incorporation of Aboriginal perspectives into curriculum content. Courses include cultural and social components and perspectives of First Nation, Métis, and Inuit communities. Graduates may transfer credits from this program to other college programs. For more information, go to the Red River College website at www.rrc.ca. Tired of the same old one-word homepage?
Aw, look, honey. The letter O's are little turtles today.
Help me. Then it's time you checked out winnipeggers.ca, Winnipeg's very own social media website. Get connected with other Winnipeg people, post a video, or play any of the 4,000 games on the site. You can even check out the latest celebrity gossip.
Like, I totally can't believe she's wearing that.
Yes, Winnipeg, this is your ultimate homepage, winnipeggers.ca.
Because Winnipeg, it's all about you.
This is a nice apartment.
Thanks.
No way. You have a record player? And tons of vinyl.
Yeah.
Superman soundtrack? Golden Girls? Sesame Street? Where did you get these?
Put your eyes down next to me.
Oh.
That's with Superman vinyl. Add into the music, pick and choose from thousands of records, including new releases and your favorite classics. Personalize your record collection. Check us out at the corner of King and McDermott.
And now, the difference between a few drinks and being a dummy. This young man has had a few drinks.
Hi, wanna dance?
Sure.
And now, a few too many drinks.
Hey, baby, she wanna...
Oh, gross, my shoes.
So what's so great about drinking until you're a dummy? Seriously, be undrunk. And find out how you can win a MacBook, iPod, or iTunes gift card at beundrunk.com.
A message from the MLCC.
To the Illegal Curve radio show. Anytime I get the off, it's my duty to tell you that was the first band I ever saw. I was 10 years old.
It's quite an opening.
Yeah, I thought so.
Were you more of a Slash fan or more of a
Popcorn fan.
Axl fan?
Popcorn.
Well, we always know that you're a Popcorn fan.
Popcorn. Yeah. Popcorn was my weak spot back then. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve
Not
radio
anymore?
Show. Oh, it's still my weak spot. But I broadened my horizons. I got a lot more weak spots now,
fair
is what
enough.
I'm saying.
Fair enough.
You know, how's that sound? That seems reasonable, right?
Fair enough.
Anyways, we had just heard from Anton Thun, player agent for M5 Sports in the previous segment. Really gave some good insight into the Kovalchuk ruling.
Insightful interview.
Let's move into a guy whose future is...
That was insightful insight.
There you go. Let's move to a guy whose future is tied right to the hip of Ilya Kovalchuk. And that is Thomas Cabrelle.
Yeah.
We've been waiting all summer for Cabrelle to be traded. And
I haven't.
Okay, well, you haven't, Ezra. But
well, if we've been waiting all summer, we've been waiting for 3 years, because Burke's been apparently trying to trade him for 3 years.
Well, I mean...
And Ferguson was also trying to trade him, and Cliff Fletcher was trying to trade him.
And let me tell you guys, before we even get into this, Drew, if a guy is that openly on the market, it doesn't help your negotiation. Doesn't help your negotiation leverage at all.
No, of course not. You have no leverage at that point. If you tell the guy, if you tell the world that you want that you're going to trade your guy, why would anybody give you fair market value?
I was at the draft last year and heard Brian Burke talk about Cabrelle and the sweepstakes then and the negotiations and how they were going. That was a year. That was about two months ago.
I thought you tried to acquire him for a second round draft pick.
Seriously, I mean, this is the thing about this. Thomas Cabrelle is on a $4.25 million contract. We've talked about it at length of this show. The fact that he's now with 1 year left going into UFA status, he has so much less value than he had 2 years ago. So whatever you're getting today, you would have got far more a while back. And maybe a while back it wasn't up to what you wanted, but a while back is going to be more than you get now. So I think Burke has, unfortunately, and he's a smart guy, but Burke has unfortunately overplayed his hand here. And now, with the deadline being the 15th, and one of the biggest suitors apparently having been, possibly been the Devils, the Devils will sign Kovalchuk, well, they're out of it, so then they have do they have a backup plan? Maybe. But at the end of the day, you're not going to get that much for him. You might get something, but A, it's going to be either a bad contract, or it's going to be prospects but not top prospects, or draft picks but probably not top draft picks. And none of those things are really going to light Toronto on fire here.
Well, no, Rich, you said that that Berkey overplayed his hand, and I agree with you. But I think there's a lot of things that are clouding this issue. A huge one being that Cabrera has said again and again that he does not want to leave Toronto.
Yep, good point.
And 2 years ago, he said that, I'll give you a list, because they asked him and they told him they wanted to move him. And then he gave him the list and they couldn't work out a deal, so they kept him. And that was with 2 years left on the contract.
That's right.
Now he's got 1 year left on the contract. He still has said publicly that he doesn't want to go through his agent. And there was a good article on Yahoo Sports today about that. A long article. I forget who the author was. It was on Yahoo Sports. And he really went in depth into the whole history, the last 3 year history of these Cabrera rumors. And now, you're right. And he's attractive in that he's signed $4.25 million. A lot of people agree he's probably a $6 million defenseman.
He's also, you could argue that, but also, as I don't think you could really argue. I think this is a fact. He's their best defenseman.
He is their best defenseman, and that's also an issue here that they obviously, the Leafs are, you know, still one of the weaker teams in the league, and even though they've improved a little bit with moves here, their goaltending's better, and they've improved, it's clear that they want to, you know, bulk up their forwards. They, you know, Burke is apparently really wanting to get bought Bobby Ryan. I don't think that's going to happen, but
sure,
you know,
we all want something,
right? Yeah. Piece of cake, usually in my case.
Suggested Ezzy on the NHL. That I had to write this thing for. Don't want to be a name dropper here, but I had to write this piece for ESPN in terms of the Southeast
name
division.
Dropper.
Yeah, well, okay. Company man, remiss like that. I wrote the article suggesting that Cabrera would be a good fit in Tampa Bay for a number of reasons, but I thought that maybe a package of Cabrera for a kind of a Ryan Malone would be a nice fit for both sides. The Leafs would add size, they'd add some skill, not a great contract, not the worst contract. They'd add talent up front, they'd add a mucker, but with hands, and they'd get rid of a Cabrera, and he'd fill a need in Tampa in the back end, and the contracts would be the same. I think they're almost identical. I think Malone's a 4.5. But I'll check on that. Remus, want to check on that from Malone for his contract, his cap hit? But something like that is something that I think is going to happen, right? I think that the Tampa would obviously have to sweeten up the pot a bit. But I'm talking about that kind of deal, guys. Maybe not that deal, but that kind of deal. And is that kind of deal going to get Leafs fans excited? Is that kind of deal that what the Leafs fans wanted for the past 3 years? No. And so that's what I'm saying. I think he's overplayed his hand, because it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be that young, great player. It might be a couple of good young players who have a chance to make it. There's no guarantees.
Why would you trade for him? Why would you trade for him right now when you can wait a year and sign him? Why would you give away two good young players?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You overplaying him. But yeah, why would you give away two young players? Probably not. I'm saying good players, not great players, so the chance of them succeeding wouldn't be as high, or a contract that's not terrible but not bad, and that you could take on, and he could add a skill level to your team. There's not as many options as you had 2 or 3 years ago, guys. You're exactly right, Drew. 2 or 3 years ago, if you trade Cabrera, he's got 3 years left on a very reasonable contract. He can quarterback your power play. He's not very good defensively, but he can quarterback your power play, move the puck in the right direction. Very valuable commodity. But they kept the commodity on a terrible team, didn't show any confidence in him, and look what's happened. And he's had some off-ice problems too, apparently. I don't know what they are, and that's not really any of our business. But
bad relationship with the head coach.
Well, obviously. And I think, but many people believe, yeah. Rims mic on?
From Malone, 4.5.
I remembered to turn his mic 4.5. On ahead of time there.
Good.
And also to partially answer your question, Drew, you wouldn't want him when he's at 1 year 4.25 when you can get him without giving anything up. And I think that, you know, if the Leafs are so gung-ho on moving him, even though Burke's public messages are very conflicting. He's a very intelligent, well-spoken guy, but he keeps saying, well, we'll entertain offers, but we're not actively looking to move him. Yet he'll say at the draft, and this was, remember how public, how much the media jumped on this when he basically said, who wants Cabrera, in other words? And the thing is, in this case, if they don't get a top, let's say, maybe six, but Malone would be a top six. But
yeah,
if they don't get a top three forward after all of this,
they're not going to. Maybe they will.
Why are you doing that? Keep Cabrera. Right. You don't have a lot of veteran defensemen with his ability. Actually, there's nobody even close on that team. I mean, you've got good defensemen. Phaneuf is a good defenseman, but Cabrera is clearly your number one defenseman. And if you're not getting a very good forward to kind of, you know, on a young team to help those forwards, then it's going to be a horrible deal. And no,
for a second there, I have to admit I forgot about Phaneuf being on the defense. And
well, no, Ryan, but
Richie, the way Phaneuf's been playing the past few years,
the Leafs fans are not going to get excited about trading Cabrera for Ryan Malone when Cabrera has been on the team for 11 or 12 years and has been nothing but consistent and putting up good
and
numbers.
Again, that's his idea I'm tossing out there. Who knows what's going to happen? But that's exactly right, Ezzy, and I'm with you on that point.
Let me ask you guys something. You know, at this point in time,
Kay?
If the off golfers don't, and this, I'm sort of quasi-stealing this from Colgan in the Ustream chat room, but okay. I, with his permission, I hope. You know, if, you know, the offers don't improve to where Burke thinks they're acceptable, you know, close to Sunday, is he not better off? I mean, he won't have an option because the no-trade clause kicks back in, but is he not going to be better off to wait until the deadline when it's when Cabrera could be moved to a cup contender? And you would have to think that Cabrera is going to want to go to a cup contender at the deadline because he knows he's not going to be re-signed in Toronto, so what's the difference in leaving 3 months early or 3 months later? Could he not get more money for a better player for him now than he could right now?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why, because Cabrera's contract's not that significant. So For guys with bigger contracts, and they have $10 million contracts, yeah, okay, the team has to take them, has to pay far less of the salary. Here it's a $4 million salary. The team will have to pay $1 million. I don't think that's a big of a drawback at the beginning of these seasons.
No, I'm saying if you're whatever team and you think you're number two or number three or very good number three defenseman away from reaching the Cup Finals, and you have Cabrera and Burke is dangling Cabrera in front of you at the trade deadline, aren't you going to really pay a pretty good ransom in terms of young players?
How much more risk is involved in that for Burke? What if that team goes for another defenseman? He's left out there with nothing.
At this point in time, it seems like
he could get more now than he could later.
Look what you're getting for more a second now. Round pick at the trade deadline: Dominic Moore and Rafi Torres. Again, stealing that from Colgan in the chat room. But that's what's if those players are warranting a second round draft pick. What is a guy of Cabrera's talent with who's a rental?
Okay, so
with
those
no
guys
salary risk whatsoever.
A second round pick, and Kovalchuk warrants Cormier, Oduya, Bergforce, and a first. You'd have to go in the middle, but probably a little bit lower than the middle because of the way people think of him. He's an older defenseman. He's not in his prime like Kovalchuk. He's not the kind of sniper Kovalchuk is. So maybe you get a first-round pick from a team like the Devils, which really is the is like a 25th overall pick. And a Bergforce type, okay, like a possible top-six guy, but no guarantee. That's what you're going to get.
Well,
at a deadline, and you'll probably get more now or the same. So why not get rid of him now and move forward? You have too many bodies in the back end. Komisarek, Beauchemin, Phaneuf. I mean, you have a lot of bodies there, Drew.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying he's put such a high value on Cabrera so far in the last 3 years. I think maybe he's going to be the most valuable if he wasn't going to be traded 3 years ago immediately. The most value might come at the trade deadline.
Yeah, he's going to be most valuable to the team that picks him up.
The longer
probably
you
not
wait,
as a trade,
the longer
trade
you,
asset.
You wait, the less of an asset he is to the opposing side.
Okay, let's shift gears.
I can see the argument. If they would have biggest argument about Kovalchuk and people didn't like the return. I didn't mind the return. I didn't think it was great, but was that they didn't trade him earlier?
Let's shift gears to Brian Burke's former club, the Anaheim Ducks. Re-signed Timo Sulani, 1 year, $3.25 million.
Great. By the way, let me just cut in there. That throws a little bit of the water on the guys who are signing deals at 40 years old that are for $1,500,000.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Actually, when I saw this deal.
Don Beasley being Slaney's agent, arguably the best agent in the business.
I think that Timu deserves every penny of that $3 million.
I think he's worth it.
He was a point-a-game player last year. I was looking at his stats. I forgot, 48 points and 47 points in 51 games. He's probably not going to play an 82-game season again. He'll probably have another injury next season. Not that I'm wishing him, of course, to have that injury, but he's older and he's going to have...
Timu doesn't skate like he once did, but he can still skate. And
right.
When you skate like Timu did, you can still always keep up.
Well, I mean,
if you lose a step of your Timu, you still skate as well as most players in National Hockey.
He just was head and shoulders above everyone there.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Ducks are going to be happy if he gives them 55 points in 60 games something like that based on his numbers last year. So it does raise questions, though. I mean, if all the league minimum aside talk, if a huge part of this deal was speculation or, pardon me, questions about Kovalchuk playing at 44, Timo Solani's playing at 40. I mean, just because that's a rare case doesn't mean it's the only case. And I think in this case, you know, as far as all the news this week, obviously Kovalchuk took most of the headlines, but so for the most part, all of this talk about Solani is good news.
So
but there is you have
I
to
mean,
think about that.
With
you
the exception of in Winnipeg, because we have such a love affair with
him,
still
he
just flies under the radar, and he has because he's not he doesn't seem that he's that interested in winning cups at this point in his career.
He's already won one, Drew.
I know. Oh, I'm not criticizing. I know that he's won one. I mean,
he's interested.
Like he
he's interested, but he didn't choose to sign with another team, Drew.
He wants to play hockey, but only in Anaheim.
I think the Ducks will make the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
you can't say that. Hey, Drew, I'm with you. Ducks, not the Stanley Cup number one
the
contender right
now. The Ducks have a great goalie. They have a very good goalie. They have.
They're a playoff
team. They have great forwards. Yep. The one issue with the Ducks is that their defense is right now is terrible.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. Let's be honest, guys. Their defense is terrible.
And we talked about this, I think, for probably 6 months.
We talked about it last week.
Exactly. But we talked about that a lot last summer, and nothing's changed. I mean, Pronger leaves, and all of a sudden, a really good team becomes a meh team.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Whitney's pretty good. But when you're talking about Chris Pronger, I mean... We were making that argument last in 2 months ago. Pronger could have been the Conn Smythe winner easily. He was not good playing half of the game.
Talk about Pronger
and stealing the puck.
Let's talk about Pronger right now. We don't have him scheduled anytime else on the show. He's not going to be ready. We sort of speculated about it. We guessed about it last week. He's not going to be ready for training camp.
Uh-huh. And he was playing injured during the playoffs.
Of course, he's playing injured. But now he's got knee surgery and he's not going to be ready.
My question is this, Drew. What took so long for the knee surgery?
That's what I'm wondering. Why wasn't he under the knife the week after camp?
I feel like that's very well could be the Flyers and Pronger talking and saying, well, you don't really need to do training camp because we all know Pronger's abilities. He can just pop on the ice. Let's do it now. Let's give you some time off at the beginning of the season. We have Mesuros. We can plug him into the four spot right now, give you some time off, and then we can ease you in because we need you in the playoffs.
So you think they're gonna work him back? They're gonna keep his minutes and everything low for the first start of the season and sort of.
It's not the dumbest idea.
The Boston Celtics method, really. If you were a basketball fan from last year.
Yeah, you know basketball.
And Pronger, speaking of the Celtics, Pronger's kind of like the Shaq of the NHL, right?
Yeah, I mean, I washed up. It's more the Garnett.
Well, I mean, not maybe. Yeah. Yeah,
I can go. I'd go Garnett. He's a warrior, just like Garnett, playing on one knee now. Apparently, I'm.
Drew, what are you making? What are you, David Aldridge? Making this a basketball show?
I'm not making this a basketball show, but I'm saying, how many more years is Pronger under contract for with Philly? I believe it's 4 more years, isn't it?
Yeah,
not?
Four. At the cap hit.
Yep. At the cap hit, because his salary can't go anywhere.
You know, check how many years for Pronger. At the cap hit, and we've talked about this on the show many times, they actually signed that deal with the intention of signing it before he was 35, but accidentally not reading the CBA correctly and the birth dates and the timing. He actually is over 35.
How do these guys run a hockey franchise? They didn't know the CBA.
Oh, Drew, I understand that, but they also did go to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Well, I'm sorry. How did their lawyers not get fired? Maybe that's the better question. Or how did their CBA experts? They all employ CBA experts. Well, all you got to do is have a calendar with a big red dot on it. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Just for the record, Pronger's under contract till the 2016-17 season. That's 7 more seasons at $4.92 million.
7 more seasons.
That's what it says.
Wasn't the original deal 6 years, or was it 8 years?
I have no idea. RP would probably know contracts.
I thought it was
maybe those are option.
I thought
years.
It was a 6 or 7 year deal, so it would have 6 years left. Yeah,
this might be option years.
Like 7 years counting the year coming up.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, Colgan saying it was 7 years all along.
Right.
That's a. The guy. I mean, the only reason that it's not an issue. Sorry, that's right. I don't think that contract has kicked in. The contract kicks in for the first time this year. Is that right? Was he playing under that contract last year?
You're asking me with the slowest computer in town right now.
Sorry, but
you have a 56 game.
I believe that.
I'm dialing up right now.
That seems to be the consensus in the chat room. Is that he played under a different contract last year, and that contract just takes effect this year? So you got a guy who's potentially got some knee troubles. And he's going to be on your roster, whether or not you like it, for the next 7 years.
Well, let's
that
not,
could be
let's
crippling.
Not, let's not jump. Yeah, it could. There, I mean, let's well, not jump
the,
too hard.
If the contract hasn't taken effect, which it is 7 years. 7 years left. The contract hasn't taken effect. They could come back and reject it.
Except, why would they? They couldn't. Who would have to agree?
In reality, though, this is the kind of contract they want to actually approve because it would hurt the Flyers to have it after 35.
Of course, because it's an after 35 contract. So nobody's going to ever. Nobody's ever going to agree to this contract.
Well, no. I mean, Drew was mentioning that if Pronger gets injured, then you know, blah 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 blah. But I mean, I think as far as this next season goes, I'm sure he's going to be fine. I mean, it is a little bit suspicious though. Why if he was suffering that bad? The only thing I can imagine is if maybe it was misdiagnosed or they didn't think he required.
Well, I think Richard's theory is probably correct that they are going to ease him back and he's going to play, you know, 3/4 of a season or something along those lines, and that's fine. I just worry about it, if it becomes degenerative or if it become or anything like that. That could be a problem.
Atrophy in the muscle, which is slowing down the process.
That's right. I mean, you never know what's going to happen with joints and knees and everything
Richard,
else.
Do you have
actually, as he knows a lot about.
Richard, do you have a
Merck's
manual near you or what?
I watch Grey's Academy, but I actually never
Grey's
seen that.
Anatomy.
Academy.
Grey's Academy. That's at the Asper Jewish campus, man. Grey's Academy.
The show did that. I actually have never watched that show before. But I have seen that book in our friend's house.
Oh, man.
Grey's Anatomy or Grey's the Merck's book?
Well, I was going to say, Ezzy just got into med school, so...
According to Facebook, a round of applause for Ezra for getting into med school Facebook.
You probably know a little about knee surgery here.
Yeah, I did have knee surgery, and I actually did get mine late, but obviously I'm not a high-performance athlete.
And you also never rehabbed it.
And they tried to make you go to rehab.
And you said, no.
No.
Okay, let's leave it there. That's enough from you guys for this segment.
That's terrible, guys.
8 o'clock. We're coming back with NHL.
What was that?
Apparently the aliens are landing here at Kick FM. I'm not 100% sure what that just was.
We seem to have you have a flight simulator going over there?
I really don't. I'm not 100% sure what that was. Anyways, let's go to break and hope we come
back. Whatever that was awesome.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.
And now, the difference between a few drinks and being a dummy. This young man has had a few drinks.
Hi, wanna dance?
Sure.
And now a few too many drinks.
Hey, baby, she wanna...
Oh, gross, my shoes.
So what's so great about drinking until you're a dummy? Seriously, be undrunk. And find out how you can win a MacBook, iPod, or iTunes gift card at beundrunk.com.
A message from the MLCC.
McDonald Youth Services helps the children and young adults of Winnipeg for 365 days a year. Now, MYS is looking for 365 generous Winnipeggers. For only $18, you can help MYS feed the children in their care for a day. Help McDonald Youth Services help the children of Winnipeg. Please call 477-1722 to donate today.
This is the sound of safety. It's a vehicle alcohol interlock. It measures alcohol in a driver's breath. If it finds any, the car won't start.
So you changed it to WBRADMGMOA?
And we believe people convicted of impaired driving should have an alcohol interlock in their cars. Yes, it's an inconvenience, but death is final. Change for the better. MAD Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
Police agencies across the country are clamping down on the operation of motor vehicles while under the influence of alcohol. This is being done through both information and enforcement. Make no mistake, impaired driving is a crime. The costs in damage and injury are enormous, not to mention the fatalities and devastation. There is no cost for these. Winnipeg Crime Stoppers wants to assist law enforcement get impaired drivers off the road. If you encounter a vehicle you suspect is being operated by an impaired driver, contact your local police agency as this could be an emergency. 911 is the universal emergency phone number. Use it. An alternative is calling Winnipeg Crime Stoppers at 786-TIPS. That's 786-8477. Callers never have to reveal their identity and may be eligible for a cash reward.
The safety and security of you and your family have been the top priority of Winnipeggers for years. Find out the latest every weekday afternoon from 4 to 5:30 on the Great Canadian Talk Show when we bring you the Crime, Courts, and Public Safety Update. Brought to you by the Winnipeg Police Association on 92.9 Kick FM.
The Fun Bobby Hour on 92.9 Kick FM, Mondays at 6 o'clock. Tune in and listen to Jana, Kendra, and Vanessa for 1 hour of solid girl talk.
I'm just the best.
I want a man like that.
Men must love you, Kendra.
With the Punisher?
The Punisher.
You can't, like, put your own acronym after your show name.
You know, it's sort of
and be like, hey, we're going to be the beautiful life, TBL. Yeah. You know, that's just stupid.
The FVH on 92.9 Kick FM, Mondays at 6 o'clock.
I gotta tell you, I didn't know Blind Melon even did a live recording of that that song, but I kind of enjoyed that. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
Pretty good, Drew. Pretty good music choices tonight.
Pretty good, man.
Thank you. Not just the police, like usual.
That's just in my car, my old Altima with a tape deck. We don't have a tape deck anymore. I miss it.
Drew, you pumped up for the Michael Bublé concert?
When is that?
It's Friday night.
Here?
No, of course it's here. You mean you're not going? I thought you and Ezra were going on a date together.
Yeah, Michael Bublé.
In the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's come a lot.
I don't know. Didn't you go to the first four of those concerts, Remus?
No, I'm pretty sure my mom actually went to one of
them. Yeah, my mom took my grandmother to one of them.
I like Michael Bublé.
Do you?
He's actually got a lot of good music. His last album was really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's going on the next rapid fire.
This isn't even a segment.
I like him, actually.
If you want to get in on this conversation, by the way, you want to talk about Kovalchuk, you want to talk about Solani, you want to talk about Cabrera, you want to talk about anything in hockey,
talk about Michael Bublé.
This show is out there for hockey. You can talk about any single thing you want. You want to talk about St. Louis fourth line, you want to talk about the Ducks, you want to talk about the Leafs, give us a call, 780-5425 and 204 in front of that.
And if you're one of our chat room people who want to call in from long distance, of course.
Absolutely.
Right, now, you know, we've got Wade Davidson coming up in, about 15 minutes or so?
Yeah, that's right.
But before you can let us know what player you're most excited to see tomorrow, because, you know, me, Richie, and Remus will be at the MTS Center for the Superstar Summer Showdown, and me personally, I'm excited to see Tutu.
But before we get to that, it's time for NHL News and Notes.
NHL News and Notes.
Drew, you did a good job on that one.
Thank you. That was a good segue there. How about that?
Pretty good.
Thank you. Anyways.
Pretty.
You're definitely pretty good at pushing buttons, Drew.
Pushing your buttons, Ezzy?
Yes.
Hey, attaboy. That's what I was hoping for. Chris Richelios retired.
What?
He's about 80.
Didn't Kovalchuk and his agent try and pay Chelios to keep playing to show the players play past 44?
Yeah, I think so. I think he finally retired, what was it, 44 47.
Or 45? 47.
How old was he?
Well,
Remus?
Our desk.
He's 48 off the top of my head.
Wow.
That's old.
Well, let's confirm that on a reputable source like Wikipedia.
And not Remus's head.
Chat rumors probably wouldn't get to know his age.
47, I think, wasn't it?
He's born in 62, so he's 48.
Oh, 48.
Oh, I hit that.
I owe you a beer for that one, man.
Yeah, there you go.
You never buy us a beer.
You never asked.
I have to ask for you to buy me a beer?
I'll buy you a Molson. I'll buy you a Molson X.
Oh, I was going to say.
Or Molson OV.
Remember when the X campaign was all about saying the word sex, saying the word X in place of sex?
I vaguely recall
that. That's when it started. That was like the first ad campaign.
Molson X or the Red River X?
Let's talk about Chris Chelios retiring.
Okay, well, I mean, Chris Chelios obviously played the last few years, and if you saw him play in Atlanta at the end of the season, you would realize that he looked like he was 48 years old. But in all honesty, he's an absolute shoe-in Hall of Famer. He won three cups, one in Montreal, two in Detroit. An absolute warrior of a defenseman. If you look at the stature, and you have to understand that Chelios probably didn't weigh more than 180, 185. Wasn't the tallest guy, wasn't the biggest guy. Certainly near the end of his career, wasn't the fastest guy. An extremely smart defenseman, an extremely tough defenseman, and extremely dedicated to being in great physical shape and a great leader. Like, he really brought all the things to the table. And early in his career, he was very much a point producer. Later on, he kind of slid back to moving the puck well and just playing solid in his own zone. Understood his role. You know, that's the thing about these guys, him and Mike Keenan, these guys, Ezzy. They understand their roles. They realize that they're not as good as they used to be. And Chelios used to be the best defenseman in the National Hockey League. And then he took a role as a number six, you know, as a number two, a number three, a number four, a number five, a number six. He really understood his role. And that's a consummate team player.
And those two guys that you mentioned might be the last two guys that are able to play at that age. I mean, you know, Gordie Howe did it, 25 years ago?
I don't even know if it's so much the last physically, Ezzy, but I think you're onto something in terms of the passion.
Oh, he's clear. He was playing in the AHL. Yeah. I mean, Chris Chelios Hall of Fame first ballot. Yeah. He was playing in the AHL and loving it.
Yeah. That's the part that surprised me the most, is that, you know, when you willingly, you know, without much of complaint or, you know, expectation that you know, he deserved something or that he should be grandfathered into being always an NHLer, mm-hmm. went down and played with the kids, and he rode the buses. And I mean, he played in Chicago. From Chicago, yeah. I mean, Chili's Chili, I believe.
I tried to go to Chili's Chili's in Detroit. I tried to go to Chili's Chili, but it was closed.
Wasn't there a tragedy at Chili's Chili once?
There was. About a year before I went. I went to see the Wings. Chili's still playing.
Someone burnt their mouth on a really hot tub.
No, I think somebody was killed there.
Yeah, somebody was killed there. I think it wasn't. Chili's didn't.
Where's Allie K? We need Allie K in the chat room to give us that info.
How would she know? She's from Phoenix.
She's from Detroit.
Scottsdale, though, is where she lives. We're Facebook
friends. TV says somebody got stabbed. I remember a disgruntled employee, potentially.
Ezzy, didn't Allie K actually buy into your med school joke?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, hold on.
Just let everybody know, Ezzy on Facebook decided to tell everybody in caps lock that he got into med school. People didn't know Ezra didn't realize that it was clearly a joke.
So, and I believe you were doing it somewhat mocking of those who actually do tell people on Facebook that they got into med school.
The funniest part is my dad congratulated me. Okay, no, but honestly, though, back to Chelios. I want to talk about Chelios, okay, number 24. Is Chelios going to go into management, or is he a...
He got hired by the Red Wings in
okay,
management.
Okay, so he did. Because, I mean, he was heavily, heavily involved with the NHLPA. He was up there.
Oh, yeah. That's right, that's a good point.
With Glenn Healy and the likes. And
I always wonder if these guys are going to turn into good managers or not. The jury's out, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, the NHLPA, or they, you know, such... They're going off topic here, but such, you know, a kerfuffle that they've had. They you know, came out with this big... Or they did this examination about, you know, who was responsible for the firing of Paul Kelly and all that, and they didn't release it to anybody. Yeah, and, well, I mean, that's what Stan Fischler, good, you know, a big fan, we're a big fan of his on this program, has been really ranting about on Twitter a lot lately, is how the NHLPA has not released, or nobody has leaked that document yet.
Stan Fischler's rants put your rants to shame.
Yeah, I can't compete. I wouldn't even bother to try. He's the hockey maven.
That's right.
I'm the hockey mini maven.
You take that.
Mini muffin. I want some muffins.
Let's go on the next rabbit.
Jerry D'Amigo is leaving college at the Rensselaer Polytechnical Institute.
RPI.
I've been trying to, I've been practicing that all week to get to that, to join the Toronto Maple Leafs. Apparently he's the second coming, if you were to believe all the media around him.
So is Christian Hansen, right?
Yeah. I mean, is this just, you know, typical Toronto...
No, I mean,
is he a
player? Bozak signing was a really good one. The Hanson, again, both the signings were good because it didn't cost him anything. I haven't seen Jerry D'Amigo play, so I'm not going to be one of these guys that comes on and says, oh, he did this, this, and this. I don't know.
I mean, he's been hyped ever since his performance at the World Juniors.
Well, that's how I know his name, but I haven't seen him play.
I haven't seen him play. If I did, yeah. I mean, I didn't pay close enough attention to the games that he was
playing.
Apparently,
he was one of the, I think he was top five or top six in scoring at the World Juniors. And nowadays, if, you know, scouts say that had he come out, you know,
Team Canada or Team US?
Team USA.
Yeah.
Had this, and now scouts are saying that, you know, the Leafs got him in the third round, where right now he's bottom first round talent. Well, I mean, they drafted him. I just don't understand it. You know, what did they expect? Did they expect that he was going to diminish his skills?
So, you know, I'm not much to do, but nothing. Clearly, you're getting a player, and you're not giving up anything for him except for money. But, you know, I always have not concerns, but I always back off in terms of expectations and for not college players, but just for any guy who's hyped this much because he's signed up and he's going to be the team. You know, he's no Crosby, he's no Ovechkin, he's no Ryan Nugent Hopkins, guys like that, these top players. So yeah, sure, he could be an effective player. I'm sure he could. I haven't seen him play. I'm sure he can be an effective player. But, you know, the Leafs have a lot more problems than just him. And while he does help the cause, they certainly haven't helped their cause with their salary cap management and with their long-term plan, because there really isn't as much of a long-term plan in there as they thought there would be. So yeah, he helps, and he helps add him to the Bozak and add him to Christian Hansen and add him to Nazem Kadri. That's a nice nucleus there to work with, but it's not Taylor Hall, Magnus Parvi Svensson, and Jordan Eberle. Let's be real here.
We always like to keep it real here on the Illegal Curve Radio Show. Maxim Afinaganov is the latest player to go to the KHL, signing with...
I get some dap for that.
For saying that he was going there?
Remus, you know, you pull up my clips when I make mistakes. I said last week's show that he was going to be going to the KHL.
You have to call me the day...
I know. I don't want the clip playing. I'm just saying I want some dap once in a while. Steal Michael Wilbon's line.
Dap?
Yeah, dap.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Oh, credit.
Really, Remus? You don't know dap?
Yeah, you don't know dap?
What the hell is dap?
Watch PTI?
Yeah, I'm surprised that you don't know dap. Dap is pretty common. I know dap.
Remus, I thought you were hip to the scene.
I guess. I don't have much PTI in a while.
What? It's a shame.
I don't know. I have other things to do.
That should be
next week's rapid fire, or news and notes, a breakdown, or whatever segment this is. I have other things to do. Anyways. Is this just a guy who wants the biggest paycheck, and that's why he's going there? Because, I mean, he still has NHL talent.
Does he, though? I mean, he wasn't spectacular on Atlanta. If anything, Afinaganov has kind of bounced around a little bit the last couple of years.
Well, he was a productive NHL player. He played, I think, just about 17 minutes a game last year. Didn't play any on the PK, or didn't play tons. He's a one-dimensional player, and that he's a scorer, and that's obviously a good dimension to have. He could definitely have been an asset to a team in the National Hockey League, but he wanted to be paid money as a top-line player, and he is not a top-line player, even though he's been afforded that opportunity in the past. So this is the kind of guy who, you can't fault him for it. He took more money and another opportunity. Probably wouldn't have got more than $1.5 or $2 million in the National Hockey League, probably for short-term, because people questioned his motivation. Going to KHL, I believe he signed a five-year deal. Take the money, go. You're going to be a star. You're not going to be a star in the NHL. You can be a star there. You can play in the Olympics probably coming up in Russia in 2000, and if they agree, even if they don't agree, he's not an NHL player now. So there's a lot of perks for him in terms of stardom, in terms of money, in terms of the Olympics. But in the National Hockey League, you know, he kind of wasn't like one of those guys who was cut out for the National Hockey League. Just the way he plays, he's a stick handler. He doesn't have a very good shot. He's slight. He takes a lot of risks and does a lot of dangling, which is works fine in practice, but when you're playing against, you know, Chris Pronger and guys of that caliber, that ilk, then you're really going to be put in between a rock and a hard place. So I think this is the right decision by him. If you want the cash, if you want the cup, obviously you've made it. It's not the right decision, but I don't know to be honest with you guys, I don't know if a contender would have signed him anyways.
Okay. We can move along. Kurt Kleinendorst, rumored to have been in the running for the Devils' head coaching job, is the new head coach for the Binghamton Senators of the AHL. What do you know? What do you like? What do you say?
I've never heard that name before, and I wasn't actually aware of him being on the shortlist for the Devils' head coaching job.
Well, he came out of the U.S. national program, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. He was involved in USA Hockey, and he was highly respected, and the connection there was that Lou Lamoriello is, of course, heavily involved in USA Hockey.
Yep, I know that. Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, that he comes with a good pedigree, and Ottawa definitely is a younger team, and they definitely need someone who's worked with American players, not just American players, but they need someone who's worked with younger players. So I guess that's a good signing, but, I don't know a lot about him.
Rich, you're looking at me puzzled.
Well, no, I'm not looking puzzled. I'm not going to speak out of turn again. I don't know enough about this guy. And you gave us the background. Now, if I'm going to talk to you about his coaching strategy and the way he coaches, well, I haven't seen him coach. I don't know what he coaches like. So I don't want to again speak out of turn. It's never a bad hire, I don't think, to go to do something different. That's what I like. I can take that perspective on it. I like how they're trying something different. They're not recycling candidates, especially at the AHL level. Let a young guy prove himself. Let a guy take a chance here. And you have Corey Kluson, a very capable National Hockey League coach. Again, I went on a rant about it last week, thinking that he should have been the coach of the year, considering the talent level and the team, the performance that his team put forth last year. So yeah, I mean, I have absolutely no issues with them hiring a guy like this. If you are Kleinendorst, you have to think to yourself, okay, well, I'm going to Binghamton. I got to prove myself. And at the AHL level, you don't really have to be within the farm system of the team that you want to coach, right? Because right now, Kluson's on pretty strong ground.
Yeah.
So you prove yourself that you can win
at the AHL level.
In Winnipeg here. If you prove yourself at the AHL, you'll find
Guy Boucher, and I mean, you end up. Right. I mean, no franchise is going to block their AHL coach from taking an NHL job.
But no franchise also is going to hire a guy out of the new. Generally, almost 100% will not hire a guy out of the U.S. national program.
No, I mean.
But that's the next step, right? It's a logical next step, Drew.
Right, but I mean, the reason why people speculated is because, you know, Lou loves to be, you know, Lou as he smiles and grins and knows all about
as his boy.
Yeah, I know. But you know,
what are you on Facebook?
Me? No.
Yeah, you keep pausing.
Let's go to break, Drew.
We're not quite ready for break. We got 40 seconds left.
I'm ready to talk, but you're like turning your head.
Go. I'm trying to follow 14 things here.
Drew,
you just have to sit there. That's all you're doing.
You get off Foursquare.
Yeah.
What is Foursquare?
Come on, keep up with the times, man.
I'm not.
You're on FPC right now, Drew?
Am I on what?
Yeah, get off LinkedIn, man. Get on High Five.
I can't stand those LinkedIn invitations I get all the time.
Oh, you're popular.
No, I'm not really. It's like, I haven't actually spoken to you in 5 years. Why would I want to join your
before
network?
Before we go to break, we're going to have Wade Davidson on after the commercials. And he is here for a great... He's going to be talking about a great cause. Let me give you a little preview coming into the break, then we'll hit the commercials here. Wade... He's going to tell you all about it after the break, but the summer Superstar Summer Showdown is in Winnipeg tomorrow night. Now, we have a lot of listeners online. A lot of people listen to our show archived. But to our Winnipeg listeners and people who are interested in general, because you can make donations on the website, there's going to be a great charity hockey game here tomorrow with a bunch of NHL hockey players. They play against each other, obviously, no contact, but they're out there to have fun, and they're out there to raise money for cancer research, cancer care, and I think that's... more than a worthy cause and more than worthy of all of our times in the studio and also our listeners. So Wade's going to come on in about 2 to 3, 4 minutes here. He's going to give you background on how this came about, the progression of the event, what he's expecting tomorrow night. It's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the MTS Center, and a little bit more about who's playing and how to go about getting tickets. So we'll go to break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk to Wade Davidson about Superstar Summer Showdown.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 KICK FM.
I love you.
My name is Walter Mitchell.
Oh, my!
KICK FM. Go. Saturdays.
Saturdays.
1 p.m. Retro Evolution. Retro Evolution.
Please.
80s.
Ooh, for something to hold, the power of the owner of the moon.
92.9 KKFM.
Hi, I'm Kenny, host of The K Show, heard Sundays from noon to 2 here on KKFM. And I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize. Sometimes The K Show can be insensitive, sometimes politically incorrect, and sometimes, well, it's in bad taste. For this, I'm sorry. The K Show should always be insensitive, always be politically incorrect, and always in bad taste. After all, real opinions about real-world issues usually are. So join me Sundays from noon to 2 on Winnipeg's Indie Station 92.9 KKFM for the stories you want to talk about the way you want to talk about them. That's The Kenny Show.
The Big Balls Football Show, making history with their first lady guest.
Oh, wow.
All right. Yeah, you got the honor, and you're way more interesting than most of the male guests that we get.
And how did host Coltrane Shapansky react?
I am a gummy bear. Ich bin ein Gummibärchen. The girls love that line.
The Big Balls Football Show, Monday nights at 7 on 92.9 Kick FM. It's not just balls and football.
Is that inappropriate?
Is that inappropriate?
The Great Canadian Talk Show is sponsored by Phil's Barbershop, the home of the King of Cordon Avenue, Frank the Italian Barber. For just a little trim or more, go to 836 Cordon Avenue or phone 475-0529.
You have the same soundtrack every time we're on. Did you play anything before 1995?
No, I don't know music from before 1995. You should know that. Welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show. You know what? It's so easy for you to criticize. You're behind the glass there. I'm trying to do three things at once here, and you're criticizing my song selections because I don't pick up some random Bruce Springsteen song.
Ouch.
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
Don't worry.
Okay. Welcome back to the Legal Curve Radio Show. We're pleased to be joined on the line now by Wade Davison. We're going to talk to him, as Richard said, about the Superstar Summer Showdown. It's in benefit of the Believe in the Goal Foundation, which goes to air cancer patient care. Wade, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Wade, let's start by giving a little bit of the background regarding the game that's going to take place tomorrow.
Well, it was actually back in 2006, Todd's final month. He turned kind of his own, the focus off away from himself towards kind of directing the focus more towards the need of actually patient care. And he decided to start a hockey game. He had enough friends that played in the NHL and enough guys that were concerned with the cause that he kind of rallied some guys together back in summer 2006 and put together almost like a little Manitoba professional showcase. And it's basically grown since then, and every year it's gotten bigger and better, and this year will be the fifth annual Southern Summer Showdown at the MTS Center. And yeah, it's the fifth game we've played. Should be great.
Yeah, it's amazing. You guys, obviously, he had a vision, your brother had a vision, and you've followed through on that with the help of a lot of people, but can you speak to maybe how far this has come and how quickly it's come? I mean, you guys, the vision was started in 2006. It's 2010, and you're already playing the MTS Center, hoping to sell out the entire lower bowl and a bunch of NHL players, including all-stars and superstars, really. How quickly has it come even faster and progressed even far better than you had ever anticipated?
Well, you know what? Back in 2006, it was just a vision to be able to play the MTS Center, but you know what? It has come very quickly. Over the last couple of years, it's just slowly grown. Players have been just absolutely great assets for Manitoba. They've all pitched in. They're all very excited to play. And, in the last 5 years, we've never would have guessed it would have come this quickly. It was always a goal to put the MTS Center. But now it's actually happening. And hopefully this year, that whole lower bowl is filled up. And really, it's basically... We knew we'd get to this point, but it was going to take a matter of years, and right. It's happened quicker than we imagined.
And Wade, you mentioned that this is the fifth year, and we know that some of the big names include Jonathan Toews and Travis Zajac, Jordan Tutu, Colton Orr. Can you name some of the players that are new to the event this year, and maybe also just talk a little bit about some of the players' attitudes towards this event?
Well, probably our biggest addition to the game this year is Mike Richards. He usually plays in the or he fishes, I should say, in a Kenora bass tournament, but he's going to be able to make the game this year. He's our biggest addition, but there's also guys along the lines of course, like Jordan Tutu and Darren Boyd, Cam Barker, all the boys that usually have supported us throughout the years, but there is Mike Richards and a few other nice additions that definitely make our game a nice little, I should say, almost like a specialty game, considering the fact that these guys literally are NHL All-Stars,
yeah.
And they're providing their time and providing the services to play in our charity game this summer. So
it's amazing. I mean, you have your charity game, and you have two players, Mike Richards and Jonathan Toews, the number one centers on the two Stanley Cup final teams, line mates at the Olympics in Vancouver, and gold medalists and Stanley Cup champions. I mean, there's a reason to go out to this game, obviously, besides the charity factor, which that is obviously the main reason people should be going, is to be raising money for the great cause that you guys have. Is the actual hockey itself. I mean, the talent level is unbelievable, really. And so if people... being able to go out there and see that kind of talent in the middle of August is something really amazing.
Oh, definitely. And just considering the fact that these players do come from right around our area. And,
that's right.
You know, like they are homegrown, and they're just, you know, fabulous players. They're literally NHL All-Stars, and they're right in our own backyard. So, you know, it's a great event, and they're happy to come out. They're excited to come out, and it's exciting for us to present them because they are from... you know, a very small area, and they're just extremely talented individuals who are literally NHL All-Stars.
In a way, it's exactly right. I mean, we were at the game last year, and you could see the players just having fun. I mean, it's for a good cause, but it's not like they weren't last year. They weren't there, you know, because they had to be there. They were there because they wanted to be there, and you can always see that in the players' enthusiasm on the ice. And so, I wanted to ask, first of all, I wanted you to tell our listeners what time the game's at tomorrow. Where it is, we've told them, but you can tell them again, and how to get tickets for the game.
Well, the game's at 7 p.m. at the MTN Center tomorrow. Any Ticketmaster location sells tickets as well as any Dairy Queen location.
Okay.
Tickets are $20 plus tax.
Okay.
And, things are kicking off at 7 p.m. They're, you know, things will have opening speeches and such, and also it's looking like a skills competition between the periods. So
that's cool.
Have a lot of great players just waiting to kind of get the legs going towards the upcoming season.
Yeah, it's coming
and
quick.
Hoping to have some fans out there looking for some entertainment and some action.
We also have a lot of fans who listen online, live, listen listen on archive on their iPods and things like that, and hopefully get on iTunes soon. Can you give our fans who are out of town an idea of how to contribute to this cause if they wish to? I mean, I know you guys have a website, right?
There is a website. It's believeinthegold.com. Any proceeds are going, there's basically three main causes. We have a blanket program, which is basically just strictly handing out blankets to the kids that are actually in the hospital, in care.
Wow.
There's also an NHL experience, we call it, where every year we pick one kid to go wherever they basically choose to meet either their favorite NHL team or their favorite players. And also what's being worked on and which should be getting finished this coming fall is a room at St. Boniface Hospital.
That's great.
Which is basically going to be like an adolescent hangout room for basically the patients that are, you know, there that are, you know, upper teens and early 20s that are looking for basically just a room to hang out and do their kind of normal thing that are almost like replicate their basement or so, big screen TVs and recliner chairs, and make them feel just like they're normal kids instead of hospital patients. So,
well, that's great. It's an amazing cause, and you guys are doing an amazing job. And quickly, I wanted to get also. Now, I was perusing the site earlier. You guys redid the site; looks terrific. There's also a donate button on there, right? That people can click on there from out of town or from Winnipeg if they can't make it to the game, and they can donate money to that cause to those causes that you just mentioned, right?
Yes, there is.
So. If you guys, if people aren't in town right now, or people are in town but can't make it, you know, Drew, for example, is not going to be able to make the game tomorrow, then absolutely go to the website. Take a look at the website first of all. Very sharp, and they've done a great job. And you just heard Wade talk about the causes. I mean,
that's right. Dig deep. This is like you said, it's a great cause, and I mean, anything anybody can do to contribute if they can't make it out to the game, you know, by all means goes to you. Can't there is no better cause right now.
Yep.
Wade, we thank you very much for joining us tonight. I understand there's a dinner tonight before in prelude to the game tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a big golf tournament today actually, and the dinner's going on as we speak. And it was a great turnout today, and it was kind of like a little pregame for tomorrow's big match.
So. There you go. Fabulous. You've made a great event out of this and all going to a great cause. So we'll let you get back to the dinner. We thank you very much for joining us tonight on the Illegal Curve Radio Show, and we'll plug it again so that we can get as many people out there to join you guys tomorrow night.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks Wade. Good. Take care. You know, it's...
Let's talk about the causes there for a second, because, I mean, this is not... I mean, he has clearly, if his brother, I'm sure, is looking down, looking at what everybody's done, and what he started and what everybody's done since then, it obviously would be very proud. This takes a lot of time and effort, guys. I remember trying to get Wade on the show last year, and he's very open and amenable to coming on the show and helping out the cause anyway, and people who work, the family, and other people who are associated with this event. I mean, they're not doing this for profit. They're not doing it for money.
They're not doing it for personal glory. They're doing it for the right reasons. They're honoring their brother, their son.
And they're honoring Todd Davidson, who's Wade's brother. He's playing in the
WHL for the Regina Pats.
That's right. And if you read Gare Joyce's book, actually about scouting, it's actually very. He talks about Todd a bit in there, and the players on the teams that he was covering, how they were affected by it. And obviously, Wade being closer to the situation was. Very affected by it, and he's Wade's a good player in his own right. Played for U of M, so Wade plays in the game. As far as he played last year, so he's going to be in the game. And he's again, he's quality's great, and more so the reason behind it. And it's a great gathering, guys. You go to the game. Like, went to the game last year.
I believe there's probably if I'm not mistaken, and I don't believe I am. There's also an autograph component available. Right. So if you're an autograph seeker, you're listening and you have young kids,
Jonathan Taves.
And look how many people he drew out to the community club naming in his honor. Easy. I mean, I know it's easier said than done, but show out the $20. Dig deep. Goes to cancer, for cancer patients. Get Jonathan Taves' autograph, and it truly is the best hockey. I mean, the cause is fabulous, of course.
Right.
It's the best hockey that's going to be played between the Stanley Cup Finals and the beginning of training camp or exhibition anywhere in the world.
And, I mean, you're talking
it's
about
the best hockey.
We talked about this last year. It's $20, so you go instead of going for dinner and grabbing a drink, come to the game, grab a drink. It's going to a good cause as opposed to your stomach.
Right, and everyone, if you ask anyone. They'll say that Todd Davidson was an amazing individual, very good hockey player, very good guy. And if you look at the event last year and the 3 years previous to that, everyone has had an amazing time at the event. And the collection of players, the growing collection of players that they've got in the fifth year, is a testament to the family, the people that they are, the work that they've done.
But you just made a great point, Ezzy, because you talked about him. And the cause is as important a cause as there is out there. But had he not been, apparently, I never had the chance to meet him, but had he not been as a solid person that he was, there wouldn't be this kind of reaction for this event. People wouldn't be reacting. Players wouldn't be playing. People wouldn't be going to this event had he not been certainly a strong and courageous individual. And so that certainly speaks to his character and obviously his family's character. So I think that's something we shouldn't discount.
By the way, Drew, I'm going to try to get Zajac's autograph, of course.
Okay, I know you are. But again, in case you missed it, the website to go to, believeinthegold.com.
That's
you can go to any Ticketmaster outlet or go to Ticketmaster.com. You can buy your tickets online there.
Why don't we throw that in the chat if you haven't already?
I already did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if you want to donate online, there's unfortunately isn't a link to donate online, but there is an email address where you can contact them if you want to send a donation online.
Okay,
and of course, like I said, Ticketmaster, Dairy Queen, even if you just
go to the door.
Go to the door. Walk up to the MTS Center. Let's sell out the lower bowl tomorrow night at the MTS Center. I want to shift the conversation a little bit away from that specific charity. I think it goes sort of unmentioned, and oftentimes we're critical on the NHL here on the show because that's the nature of the way the conversation has to be. One of the best things they do, the NHL does, and they deserve more praise than they get and that we can give them.
Sure.
Is the NHL Fights Cancer. Program. It's a sad testament to this day and age that everybody's been affected by cancer in some way or another. And it's good to see the NHL goes about and really takes a leading role as it relates to sports organizations or sports the Big Four, as I can see, in taking a lead on this important issue. in terms of, you know, raising awareness, raising money.
Now in the jerseys that they have, and they sell them, and they do a bunch of things.
And they do it for all cancers. Right. They don't do it just for, I mean, right. Hockey is, you know, the NHL is very, you know, male-oriented, of course. But, you know, the teams that do the for breast cancer, where they use the pink sticks.
Yep.
I believe there's pink sometimes jerseys, where they pink jerseys. They sometimes paint the ice pink, don't they? You know, something. I believe one of the AHL or one of the minor league teams does that. These are all great things. That just, you know, add that much. They really, you know, they really deepen a team's ties to the community that they're in.
They absolutely do.
Especially the players and everything else. And I think it's something that is truly, truly a wonderful thing that the NHL does. And, you know, we're guilty of it, but, you know, everywhere. I think all commentators are guilty of it. And actually, I'm going to deal with this in cheers and jeers later on tonight. But,
are you going to be positive mood tonight?
I'm in a positive mood for my cheer. I think it's, you know, if everything works out for my cheer, then it's a life has been saved. So I mean, you know,
very true.
You know, we'll talk about my cheer coming up in about 20 minutes or so. But you know, if you're in the NHL, you know, kudos to the NHL for really, you know, taking a leadership role in this important issue.
Amen to that, Drew.
Okay. Well, we got 2.5 minutes before break.
Why don't we do a quick early break here and get back, because we have a bunch to talk about rapid fire that I want to add a topic or two in there.
Okay, that's fine. We'll take an early break here. I think I've got them queued up, so we should be able to go to that. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Radio Show live on 92.9 Kick FM.
Want to know how to move forward in life, get ahead, and do better for yourself? The answer is CDI College. CDI has helped thousands of grads get ahead, and you could be next. Call CDI right now. They have lots of programs to choose from. Programs that can get you in, get you trained, and get you working in less than a year. Training will help you move forward and make more money. It's as simple as that. A new career in under a year. What are you waiting for? Call CDI now at 1-800-380-7359 or go online at CDIcollege.ca.
The Great Canadian Talk Show is brought to you by Atlantic Pizza. Atlantic Pizza is the tastiest takeout in all of Southeast Winnipeg. Call 257-2443 or drop by the store at 414 Westmount Drive and make sure to tell them you listen to Kick FM. That's Atlantic Pizza, 257-2443. CanadaShali.com is your destination for information about Middle Eastern affairs. Canada Shali, based in Winnipeg, conducts advocacy efforts by promoting Israel, fighting anti-Semitism, and educating Canadians on issues affecting Israel and our community. The free weekly e-paper and monthly Hebrew newspaper available online provides the most recent updates and news from Winnipeg, Canada, Israel, and throughout the world. Go to Canada Shali. That's SHELI.com.
Beer for breakfast sucks. I mean, they got no stars, they got no hits, they play music I wouldn't take a to. They got these local guys I've never even heard of before, and they come into the studio all dressed up in their denim Value Village outfits, and they keep talking about these cool clubs they're playing at, and it's quite pathetic if you ask me. I also hear the host doesn't shower, but that's an FYI. Beer for breakfast, it's where the crap begins.
Every Saturday from 10 to 1 on 92.9 Kick FM. Call Unicity Taxi at 925-3131. Unicity Taxi has the most cabs on the road, the most advanced 24-hour dispatch system, and 75% of their fleet is hybrid vehicles. Reserve your cab in advance and your driver will be right on time. They can even set you up with a charge account. Let Unicity Taxi do the driving at 925-3131.
I hear he played
at Montreal tomorrow.
Why isn't he here? Why isn't he coming here?
No, Winnipeg's too small.
Paul McCartney. He was here before.
Yeah, he was here recently.
He was here at the stadium.
He was here a year ago.
I'm just kidding, guys.
Sir Paul?
Yeah. Paul McCartney was not here a year or two ago, Ezra.
Yeah, he was here pretty recently.
Like 15
recently.
Years ago.
No, he played the stadium about 50, maybe longer than
1995.
I think he did a show about 2 years ago.
I'll tell you what, I will bet you dinner tonight and I'm going to order a big steak now.
Why? What?
You're 100. I'm saying we're betting dinner now, and you're 100% wrong. It's Paul McCartney.
You're probably right. He wouldn't have played the Centennial Concert Hall.
Oh my God.
Bill Cosby did though.
Did he?
Bill Cosby sings.
Can I kill Ezzy's mic? Does anybody have an argument if I turn off Ezzy's mic for the rest of the show?
Bill Cosby was here a couple years ago at the Centennial Concert Hall, and by all accounts, it was a fantastic show.
That would be great if we were talking about Bill Cosby.
I heard he had a great new album. Yeah. Bill and the Huxtables? Is that what it's called?
No idea.
Okay.
I don't think it actually ever happened.
No.
Are you still ranting on Larry King?
I like Bill Cosby, but I'm not sure what the hell I need.
Did you get your application in to be the new host of the Larry King Show?
I did, actually, and they rejected me. They said I have too many. These yahoos interrupt me on the air too much, so that was the problem, they said. Otherwise, I'd be golden. It's time. Oh, no, we're throwing it to Remus first, aren't we?
That's right.
Okay, Remus, what's going on in the chat room tonight?
Oh, yeah, I got a great time in the chat today. We're just talking about how great NHL is our charity. You know, T-Beeve, Colligan, L.E.K., great, a lot of action going on here with the regulars. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out.
Where do they find it?
You can find us, you know, in the chat room, ustream.tv. That's the letter U, stream.tv/illegalcurve.
And they want to add us on Twitter.
Yeah.
At the Legal Curve.
And
on Facebook.
And Facebook as well. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. So
Facebook is illegalcurve.com.
That's right.
You can find us. You guys are all smart out there. You know how to find us.
It's time.
It's time for Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
Devin Setaguchi.
Huge Espen, a.k.a. Huge Specimen.
Fair enough.
San Jose Sharks.
Bob Sacamano.
How many shots are you saving?
I really like his upset.
Jamal Mayer is the highest scoring U.S. player of all time, but he's pretty young, right?
Are they a playoff team?
2 years ago, he was horrible.
You know how much I love Jay Pandolfo.
100%. I mean, he's ready.
What does he need to prove that?
Mediocre fighting ability.
Injury prone.
Yeah. He's useless.
Really good skater.
He can play.
Zenon Konopka.
He's lost a step.
Huge Specimen.
Huge Specimen.
That's a lot of times you guys said huge specimen last week, I gotta
tell
you.
I only said it once.
Well, actually,
Well, no, because I said it, Dartmouth, and then you guys all second-guessed me and ended up being Dartmouth, right?
Yeah, well, you said Dartmouth first, and then you're like, Yale or Michigan? Like, yeah, I think it's Yale.
Well, no. I said, hold on. I said Dartmouth, and then everybody said no, and then you said, well, they say Michigan or Yale. I knew it was an Ivy League school, so I said Yale.
Yeah.
I thought I said Dartmouth.
Is it Calgary or Calgary?
I'm not trying to take credit away from me.
Is it Calgary or Calgary? My dad was just in Calgary, and I said Calgary.
I say Calgary.
Calgary.
Kelly Rudy says Calgary.
Right.
If Kelly says it, then we got to go with Calgary.
He lives there, right? He would know.
You would think.
Kelly's one of our best guests. Came on his birthday last year. He came on the show.
Yeah, it was really nice of him. Rapid fire. The Edmonton Oilers signed Martin Gerber to a one-year contract. Does he have anything left to contribute to an NHL team? And conversely, are the Oilers considered an NHL team?
That's such a Drew question.
Yeah,
that's the quintessential Drew question.
That really is the quintessential Drew question. In terms of Gerber, basically, they're signing him because they're worried that if they have to put one of Delorier or Dubnyk through waivers, they won't have a player to possibly be in the AHL to be a netminder. Well, I don't know why that's that concerning, but I guess to help your young defenseman and young players along. He's on a two-way deal, Gerber. I don't know.
I think he's got something left to be a mediocre backup, but I thought this was going to be the year that Dubs, you know, was the bona fide number two goalie. But I don't know, maybe they want Gerber there, but Gerber was nothing special on the Leafs.
I just think Gerber being in any kind of NHL environment, meaning playing in Canada or somewhere with pressure, is probably a bad situation for him. I don't really think it's a. You could have just picked somebody else up and put him as. It got far more press and far more analysis than it warranted.
John Madden signed with the Minnesota Wild. What do you expect the Wild to get out of John Madden?
They're going to get a three-time Cup winner, four-time Cup winner, actually. No, three-time Cup winner. They're going to get with John Madden. You're going to get leadership. I think is huge here. He'll probably get a little bit more ice time because on Chicago, what was he? Remember, we were looking at the stats.
He's fourth line center.
He wasn't getting very much ice time. He'll get more ice time, but you're getting face-offs and
penalty killing.
Penalty killing, yeah. Right? I mean, that's
very little offense. I mean, you're getting a guy who Minnesota's, you know, not a great team. And Minnesota's strength is in goal and on defense. So I guess they're going to try and be a really defensive team, which is odd because they tried to change that mandate. Minnesota is very much a team, actually, guys, jokes aside, that's built for Jacques Lemaire to coach them to make up for their offensive inability. Signing John Madden won't help that offensive ability at all, except for maybe getting some draws and getting the puck in their possession. Overall, it's not going to push that team into the playoffs, in my opinion. So the signing for 1 year to push a team into the playoffs doesn't really seem that significant.
If you were Paul Kariya, would you follow your buddy Timu back to Anaheim, or would you join a cup contender and try and win that elusive cup?
You know, it's an interesting question, Drew, because I thought maybe he'd be a nice fit in Vancouver, you know, help a little bit on the PP and be a good secondary scorer.
they don't have any cap room there, Drew, unless they make a couple moves, and unless he wants to take very little money. If I'm him and I can go to Anaheim and I can play with Getzlaf, Perry, Ryan, Solani, Koivu, and Blake and all those guys, and they can have a heck of a forward group and a heck of a defense group, and I'm happy in Anaheim, and I can play with my friends, sure. I mean, Kariya's never won a cup, though. He's been to Game 7 of the Cup Finals, but he hasn't won a cup. So I'm not so sure what his motivation will be. But if I were him, I'd probably see what's out there with the Stanley Cup contender, see if they had a realistic chance to go far and win it, and I would probably sign there. But there's certainly no fault in him going to sign with his old team and play with his old buddy.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know what his goal is for next season. I can't see it not being to win a Stanley Cup. I don't think anybody's goal isn't to win a Stanley Cup. But it changes a little bit when you're in the position where you can pick and choose which team you want to go to. So I mean, I don't know if St. Louis is on the table, but
we'll ask Remus. Ask TB if St. Louis is on the table.
I mean, once again, I think Anaheim isn't. You can't say that they don't have a chance at the Cup. They're not a favorite, but I honestly think though that they're one defenseman away from being a decent, a good team, top, yeah, you know, 5-4 team in the West. So
Remus, do we have an answer?
Number that, but a bottom four team in the playoffs.
Remus?
Oh yeah, he says no.
Okay, so Paul Kariya to St. Louis is not an option according to T Beef. Is Ruslan Saleh, limited to 14 games last year, a quality depth player for the Red Wings defense?
You know, it's a depressing day in Canada when on Monday the highest read story on the Globe and Mail sports website was Ruslan Saleh, an AP story with Ruslan Saleh signing in Detroit. Wow, I was just sad for the rest of the other sports. But in all honesty, he's a veteran defenseman. He's a rugged rear guard, getting in the way of shots, kill some penalties. You know, okay, moving the puck, nothing special. A veteran guy they can plug into the 5-6 hole if they need it to be, and they, you know, put him in there over the guys like Lebda, who they lost. You know, it's the kind of guy he'll replace. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with it. No drawbacks for the Red Wings. A veteran signing, they're the oldest team in the league already. So, again, as I said last week, sign Modano, sign Saleh, or sign Modano, it doesn't matter. You're already the oldest team. Sign Saleh, you're already the oldest team. So this is a one-year deal. No risk, really. I like it.
Yeah, and it's a good pickup, and I've always liked Saleh's game. Liked Saleh's game, and he was very effective on the Ducks.
He was,
and he'll play more than 14 games, you know, unless you know something bad happens like the last year. But I mean, Detroit's made some pretty sharp pickups. Actually, I like the moves they've made in the offseason.
I agree with that.
Riley Cote,
I think they've done well.
Is Riley Cote playing in the game tomorrow night?
Not sure about that. He's from Winnipeg.
No retired players. Yep.
No,
I'm joking. I actually don't know if he is or not, but
might be.
That's something to check into.
Anyways, Riley Cote retired to join the Philly Phantoms as an assistant coach. Do you like his move, or do you think he should have bounced around for a few more seasons to collect some extra paychecks?
I have no problem with the move. He's recognizing that hockey's maybe he's not long for a playing career, and he wants to get into coaching at an early age so he can probably ascend to a higher coaching position by a younger age. If that makes sense. I think that does. I have absolutely no problem with that. I mean, he's working in that system. He's a rugged guy. He's far more talented offensively than people realize in terms of just hockey players in general. Obviously, the NHL is a whole different story. But he's a tough guy who spent an entire career basically in the penalty box, a Philly favorite. And, he's got a vision of clearly wanting to coach, and so he didn't give up on it early. He gave up on his career to get into the coaching ranks. So hey, he loves the game. He's staying around the game. I've never have a problem with a guy choosing to retire, but I think it's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I mean, there could have been an issue there with the Philly signing Shelley. I mean, that could have pushed Cote out a little bit, but
again, odd because Cote is as good of a fighter and younger.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, he clearly at 28 years old is deciding that he wants to get a coaching career. Wants to start a coaching career younger, when usually guys will start off in maybe their mid-30s or late-30s.
Yeah, it's true. But it's
I think it's a good move. I think it's definitely a respectable move when he probably wanted to stay with Philly, and it doesn't look like he was really looking for a team to move to, because I don't believe he was on any other team, right?
Yeah, if he wanted to play in the league, he could have played for a while.
Yeah.
He could have been up and down. Played on as a depth player.
Just for the record, I was on NHL's cap, and they had him this year on the Flyers cap for $500,000.
Yeah, it's a minimum salary in the NHL. So, yeah.
So, I mean, he still could have. He had another year left. Yeah. So.
Detroit Red Wings owner Mike Ilitch is interested in buying the Detroit Pistons. Mm-hmm. As a fan of an NHL team, would you want your owner to have multiple sports properties?
Depends on the owner, Drew. I mean, that's an easy way out, I guess, but depends on the owner. If it's James Dolan, you might be a little worried.
James Dolan being the incompetent owner of the Knicks.
And Rangers.
And Rangers, of course, yes.
If you're a Detroit fan and you're Mike Gillich and you've seen him get the Tigers a championship in the last decade and the Detroit dominate the National Hockey League since he took over there, I would be absolutely 100% in favor. Look at the alternatives you've had. You've had the Pistons haven't been run by a bad or owner in Bill Davidson, the guy who won championship in Detroit and a championship in Tampa. But look at the Ford family there in Detroit. So if you're a fan of a team, sometimes you have to worry about owning multiple sports teams because of the attention that your team gets. So, you know, so you'd argue the Raptors fans would argue that in basketball because the Leafs get more attention, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes down to it, you just want a quality owner that's going to give your team an opportunity to win and will pay as much money as it takes to take it to the next level. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they absolutely should be in favor of it if it's the right owner. And in my opinion, Mike Gillich is the right owner.
Yeah, nobody's really done
really,
better in the last 15 years or 20 years than Ilitch. This is kind of a weird thing because every team and owner is different. In this case, I think it's a great thing. But I don't know if there's a lot more that I can say because, I mean, if you have a great owner and you like the owner, what he's done for your city and your team, you'd like for him to have that success with your other professional sports franchise in your town. So.
Okay. Question from a listener came in via email to Richie and I earlier this week. Do these new arenas, which are very cookie cutter, I mean, and if you've been to a new arena, they look exactly the same, each one. Different pictures on the walls is the only difference. Do they diminish the home ice advantage that previously existed in dearly departed arenas like the Montreal Forum, the Boston Gardens, and the Chicago Stadium?
They do so long as you tailor your they do so long as in the past you tailored your team to the arena and ice surface you played on. For example, if you're the Oilers and you tailor your team to be a speed team, which they generally always have, and you play on really good ice, which they generally always have, not so much now as good as it used to be, I don't think, but. Very good. Or if you were in, Boston Gardens or Buffalo, where the corners were smaller and you had a bigger team and you wanted to muck it up a bit, then if you tailored your team to those arenas, then yes, it is a disadvantage. But now in this day and age, I mean, the ice surfaces aren't as advantageous, I think, than they used to be. I realize that some ice surfaces like MSG with lots of events get worn down pretty easily, but. And for the most part, these guys all have the same protocol and the same guys working on these rinks, and the ice is generally the same. Obviously, the rink size is all the same, and they're always built the very same way. So, yeah, you've lost a lot of home ice advantage. I think more so with the crowd and the atmosphere in the arena than even the ice and the size of the rink. But I think they both play a factor.
Drew, who did this question come from? Because
this is the one you talked to me about, Ray.
Oh,
Champagne.
This is Ray. This is Ray. Okay, yeah. Because I was going to say Ray sent me a message.
That's
about this. Yeah, and I actually responded to him that this is something that you need to do a lot of research on, because I'm actually not so sure that I would say that the new arenas are cookie cutter. I mean, the ice surface, yes. Using the word cookie cutter, but I mean, when you're talking cookie cutter, you're talking about the entire arena, from everything from the architectural design.
The concourse at an NHL arena looks exactly the same.
In baseball, you can be creative with the size of the field, the background.
Okay,
hockey, NBA has to be the same.
Right, but the actual everything else aside from the ice surface, I don't know if I necessarily agree with their cookie cutter. I've only been in about half a dozen NHL arenas.
The only arena that isn't cookie cutter is the Ralph Engelstad Arena in Grand Forks, and that's because it's so over the top ornate.
But Drew, you can't say that because you haven't been to every arena.
I've been to enough of the new arenas to know that
how many arenas have you been to?
How many? I mean, I can't name them off the top of my head.
Even half, have you?
Probably not, but okay, I am confident that...
I think collectively we've all been to at least over half.
Okay, but we're
say we're, that strongly.
Yeah, I guess collectively, but even that, that's only half, but... Hey, what I'm trying to say here is that the actual arena, I think what the question was more about is the home ice advantage and how these teams are building their arenas. What are they doing to give themselves an advantage?
Not much.
Right.
Except for the only biggest advantage, Jesse, I will go on that, is that teams like Chicago, Montreal will build more seats because they can fill more seats. Therefore, they can they can have louder crowds and maybe help their team in that respect. But if you look at the stats, I'm sure it has as much to do with the quality of the team more to do with the quality of the team than the fans itself.
I still think
the fans, as you start, I'll let you in a second. The fans
of a bad team don't make that team good.
Right, but I still think this is something that's like a, you know, a pretty
Agreed.
Complex thing. That
Agreed.
If we're gonna, if
Agreed.
We're gonna really, and Drew, I mean, I'm not attacking you because you've.
You can attack Drew.
I'm
wrong
not
with
saying
that.
I'm not saying that you can have that. You can't have that Rich. Opinion. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of things here that we'd have to consider. As far as home ice advantage goes, and what you know factors into that, not just Remus.
What's the consensus? The consensus in the chat room.
They're saying that the arenas are nice, you know, like in like the new one in Pittsburgh is pretty nice, but it's cookie cutter, and you know, jobbing.com, it's, you know, in Phoenix says LAK, it's nice, but it's cookie cutter, you know. But my personal opinion is like, who cares what the arena looks like for home ice advantage? I don't think that's it. I think it's more about the fans
sure.
inside and
right.
how, you know, how yeah. loud they are and how, what the kind of energy they can bring to the players.
Yep. Right. Not the bounce, necessarily the bounces that the boards give, which to be honest with you, and this is why baseball is very different, because baseball stadiums
right.
can
it,
give you an advantage.
Exactly. You can tailor
Definitely.
Your team to the stadium.
Definitely.
And Remus, think about this, though. Montreal, great fans, loud, loud, loud. Won 3 of 4 games on the road in the first round. So as much as it is about the fans, it's about the team, right?
Yeah.
More so about the team. Drew, you got a call?
We have a call. We have Peter on the line. He wants to talk about the cup contenders for next year. So we'll interrupt rapid fire. We'll take
oh,
Peter's call.
Oh, let's do it. Peter, let's hear it. What's on your mind for next year in terms of the cup contenders?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, let's go here. I think in the West and the East, there's about 2 teams each that I'm really looking at. Starting in the West,
yep.
I think you go to Vancouver just because they've got all-around depth everywhere. They got the forward group in the top 6.
They're my favorite, yep.
They're arranging at a third line with around Malhotra. And then they've got, you know, they don't have an elite defenseman, but they got a bunch of top 4 guys
That's
there.
That's right. That's right.
Between Hamuse and Edler and Ehrhoff and
Ballard.
Yeah, Stuffy stays and Ballard. Yeah, yada, yada, right? And
right.
then, of course, Luongo, who's maligned recently, but I think he's still a great goalie. So
top 5 goalie, absolutely. Yep.
I think Chicago's going to drop. They're still going to be one of the top 4, but they're not in the top 2 for me with all the, you know, all the Versteeg and Busklin and Ladd and all those guys.
Agreed. Yep.
San Jose, I think, is kind of your. I should skip to the second team. I think Detroit.
Agreed.
Getting Hudler back, mm-hmm. Having a healthy Filppula, a healthy Franzen, and just a generally healthy group that's not going to the Olympics
yep.
and didn't go to the finals. You know, they went, what, 07 to the semis, 08 to the finals, 09 to the finals. Olympic year in last year, they got a bit of a rest now. So
more rest. You had a Medano. You improve up the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah. I think it's just more about being healthy for those guys. They're a great team still.
Agreed.
Peter, who do you like in the East?
In the East, I really like Pittsburgh and even more so Philly if they had a solid tender, because I just think top to bottom, Philly is a bit like Chicago last year. They have mm-hmm. the questions in goal, but they've got all those, I mean, all those guys they have between Richards, Carter, Briere, Giroux. Giroux's going to be a great player. You've got Hartnell on the wing, Leno, who, even if he does halfway in the playoffs, still
right.
a good player. I'm missing somebody here. Zhirdev, I mean, he's okay. He's
yeah.
not going to hurt them.
Giroux is obviously, you had to mention Giroux. The Flyers amazing. Look very much like they did last year. I mean, they obviously
they
have
do.
The same holes
same
that
they problems
did.
They had last year.
I think
adding Mazaros, I think, was, I mean, he's overpaid, but he's still a good player.
Yeah, he's going to help. I mean, especially if they want to ease in Pronger into the mix there at the beginning of the season. I think that
he won't be healthy for training camp, right?
So Peter, I know a team you're forgetting about. New Jersey.
Not New Jersey. New Jersey has to be in there, but the favorite, I think, in the East, to me, still has to be Washington.
New Jersey's been out of in the first round, what, 3 of the last 4 years?
Yep.
Maybe it's the second round another year. I don't think
it's probably going to be 4 to 5.
No,
they haven't gone anywhere since Stevens and Niedermeyer left there.
I think the favorite to win the East, at least in terms of the regular season, has to be Washington.
Yeah, you could be right on that. I wouldn't argue that.
Washington, but I think Washington, Pittsburgh are the two best teams in the conference. I think that Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Mahalik was a great addition there.
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely. And so was Martin. Those are 2 good additions.
Martin's over, and I think they need to add a winger though. Still, Stempniak, if he signed for cheap, would be a good addition.
They could add 2 wingers and help themselves for cheap. Absolutely, Peter.
And Korea is another one they've been looking at.
Yep.
Looks like you'll go to Anaheim, but yeah.
Well, we'll see. It'd help. But yeah, I think that I agree with you in terms of those favorites, and we're going to break this down even more so later on. So give us a call more in the next few weeks, and we'll talk more.
And I think still in San Jose, if they can make a move for Caberly and solidify the defense, is also a strong possibility in the West, like they are every year.
Yeah, they need to add some help on defense, and obviously the guys that they have and the horses they rely on still haven't gotten it done.
Yeah.
Got it done.
They have a good and young forward group there with between Pavelski, Setoguchi, Couture, and then the guys we already know about.
Yeah, but if Thornton and Marlon, those guys still don't get it done, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Peter, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Yeah.
One final rapid-fire question for tonight.
Yep.
There's been minimal progress in contract discussions between Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens. As a Habs fan, is it time to start getting nervous?
No, it's not time to start getting nervous. Maybe frustrated, but I don't think nervous.
I agree with that. He's going to get done. If he gets done on a one-year deal, they'll let him prove himself again. That's fine. You've hitched your wagon to Carey Price. Carey Price is the goalie of the future. It's going to get done eventually. Would you like to have it done earlier? Sure, but, I mean, you're still going to get it done.
Okay, that's it for Rapid Fire for tonight. It's time for Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers and Jeers.
Give a cheer to Steve Yzerman. I really liked the Dominic Moore signing, all for a fairly reasonable price.
Cheering George Laroque again.
Oh boy.
I think, you know, good for him. He got named deputy leader of the Green Party.
I'm going to cheer that number. That 457 days ago was when Jerry Moyes declared bankruptcy. Let's just, you know, hope that nobody surfaces and we get a team back. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not.
I'm going to cheer Jacques Demers. You know, all the best getting a full recovery.
Amen. Cheers and jeers.
Cheer or jeer. I like the background music there. I got to tell you.
I like the Richie P. Amen.
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of amen.
I'll give credit to Sister Sledge. It was also used for Will Smith.
Yeah, I recognize Will Smith there. I liked it, though.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, Richie, you want to start off?
Well, I'm going to do the cheer. I got an easy cheer tonight, and I'm going to cheer the Believe in the Goal cause, because you think about it and think about how far it's come in 4 years and moving the tournament into Winnipeg into the MTS Center, a 15,000-seat arena, having a golf tournament the day before, having a dinner, having the game, and then having a little social gathering afterwards. I mean, that takes a lot of time and effort, and it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of time without maybe sometimes getting the credit or the credit they deserve and going to a good cause. So I am giving a big cheer to the Believe in the Goal cause, Wade, his family, and everybody's involved in that.
Very nice. Michael Remus.
All right. I'm going to jeer. I haven't jeered in a while.
Negative Nelly.
Have you ever jeered?
Oh, I've jeered.
Oh, he's jeered. Okay. Come on, Drew.
I've jeered.
You switch seats. You're suddenly forgetful.
I think I've jeered. I've definitely jeered. But anyway, no, who knows?
I'm going to jeer your jeer.
This is my jeer. I'm jeering the NHL engraver. Somebody.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Decided to engrave the wrong team as the Prince of Wales Trophy, the trophy given to the Eastern Conference champion. They engraved the Capitals instead of the Flyers.
What? Yeah. What? You didn't hear that?
It came out
earlier today.
Came out early today. The trophy was on display at some event in Chicago. A guy noticed that the wrong name was on, took a picture, sent it around, you know.
What?
At first, you know.
It went viral, as it were.
Yeah, it went viral. At first, the Hall of Fame, you know, denied this and said that it was photoshopped, it was a hoax. But then, you know, they had to admit that it was true. You know, guys, mistakes happen, but I need to jeer something, so I'm going to jeer
that. I like that. I'm like, can I have a question? If Phil Pritchard, all his job is to fall around the Stanley Cup. What the heck was he doing? He didn't recognize that there was something wrong?
To fall around the Prince of Wales Trophy?
He's a graver, but wouldn't he have realized it? Doesn't he take care of that cup all that? Doesn't he take it into his bedroom?
Does he take care of the Prince of Wales Trophy? This is the Prince of Wales
Trophy. Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales, not
Eastern
the
Conference, not the Stanley Cup. Why would they Philadelphia?
Is there a separate guy that just takes care of the Prince of Wales Trophy, or is that Phil Pritchard's responsibility as well?
It's his brother.
So I have a question. So that gets sent over to the engraver, Prince of Wales, a trophy nobody cares about, and it gets sent over to the engraver, and it says, okay, the Philadelphia Flyers won the cup.
Won
the Eastern Conference.
My question is, right. Washington wasn't even in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They lost
to Montreal in the first round.
First round out.
But I think Washington won the President's Trophy.
Yes.
So they could have got those mixed up or something.
Good point, Remus. That's why you're here.
Was that your point or was that Colligan's point? Because he made it at the exact same time.
I'm not even looking at the chat.
There you go, Remus.
There you go.
Full adapter, Remus.
Has anyone seen Colligan and Remus in the same room at the same time?
I swear.
Yeah, he could be Colligan.
Yeah.
Colligan is just like ubiquitous on this program now. It's amazing.
I love
that you just said ubiquitous.
Great word.
It's a good word.
Ezzy, cheer. Cheer.
I was actually reading the dictionary today.
I actually believe it. Yeah. Okay, cheer, Ezzy.
I think we should all cheer the Believe in the Goal Foundation. That's my 1A cheer. You know, we're all, me, Richie, and Remus are going to the game tomorrow, and it was awesome to have Wade on, and I'm really excited to go to the game tomorrow night. My second cheer is to Timu. He's my all-time favorite player, you know, with the exception of maybe Mario.
Over Mario.
I think it's awesome that he's...
How is not a devil not even in that discussion?
Well, I mean...
There aren't many good players. They're just a good team.
That's true.
David Putty.
It's awesome that Timo decided to come back for one more year. And I think the Ducks are going to surprise a lot of people this year in the playoffs. I'm just saying that right now. Not going to say that they're going to go to the finals, but they're going to surprise a lot of people. And I think Timo made the right decision because they've got a lot of good players this year. And it's awesome because he's also a guy that's going to be a shoe-in Hall of Famer.
And
anytime we're going to get to see and watch him play, it's going to be awesome. He's one of those guys, just like Joe Sakic in his last year. Every time you watch him, it's just great because this will probably be his last year.
We keep saying that, but I agree. And Ezzy, I think you're onto something with the Ducks. We'll talk about that in the season preview.
That's very creepy, but
two dark horses, and Rich might like this too, because I know he's like the Lightning. Ducks and Lightning. Expansion teams from the early 90s.
I think you're on something with both guys, to be honest.
Yeah. Two teams that cup back-to-back cup winners, terrible years last year, but the moves they've made and the way the teams are set up, those are two teams that are going to be back next year.
I'm going to round up Cheers and Jeers tonight by cheering the hockey community at large and specifically on Twitter because that's where I was first made aware of it. Mandy Schwartz. She was a former college player at Yale, the sister of Jaden Schwartz, the 14th overall pick this year?
Yeah, 14th overall pick to
Los Angeles this year. Mandy has leukemia, and she's been in desperate need for a stem cell transplant. And after much publication on Twitter, in NHL circles, and in the hockey world, I'm thrilled to report that Mandy has been successfully matched.
Right.
She's going to undergo the... TB mentions, by the St. Louis Blues. They themselves had a big effort there. Mandy has been matched. She's going to undergo the treatments necessary, and hopefully the stem cells will do whatever it is that they need to do to rid Mandy of her leukemia. So from the Illegal Curve Radio Show, we wish Mandy all the best. We say thank you to the hockey community and everybody out there who, we're in a very community-minded show here tonight, a very community-minded mindset. Bone marrow transplants, organ donations, all these things that we can do to give back to our people when, sometimes when, tragedies befall us, anything like that. Sign your organ donation cards, if you're so inclined to do so. These are the things that, you may suffer a tragedy, but this will allow your life to continue. And, Mandy hopefully will get her stem cells and it'll take and everything will be good and she can get back to being a hockey player of whatever caliber and get back to, really living a life. And all the best to Mandy Schwartz and everybody else out there that needs a good wish tonight from us at the Illegal Curve Radio Show.
Well said.
Thank you. That's it for tonight. You can catch the replay of this program Sunday morning from 10 until noon here on Kick FM.
Right.
The show will be in the archives sometime tomorrow. Michael Remus, the man behind the R desk, will tweet about it accordingly. The replay is immediately available on Ustream.tv. If you're in the Brandon, Manitoba region or heading to the Brandon, Manitoba region, you can listen to us tomorrow night, the replay on CJ106.5 in Brandon, Manitoba. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, IllegalCurve.com. You can send us emails, Drew@IllegalCurve.com. Am I missing anything else?
You're good.
Okay, big thank yous tonight, of course, to Anton Thun, player agent from M5 Sports, for talking about the Kovalchuk deal. A big thank you to Wade Davison of the Believe in the Goal Foundation.
One more, let's be quick right before we go off the air.
Can't stress it enough.
BelieveInTheGoal.com's website. Game's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, MTS Center. $20 for the ticket goes to cancer. The bunch of causes that Wade mentioned for the for cancer. And it's a great cause. Get out there if you can. We'll be there. If you want to come up, give us a little hello. Say hi.
You guys should all wear your Illegal Curve t-shirts tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
Of course, they won't be in attendance, but wear your Illegal Curve t-shirts.
If you come and say hi, Ezzy will buy you a beer.
There you go. So you can't ask for much more than that. Just come say hi to Ezzy. And you get to finally meet in person the man, the myth, the legend that is Ezzy. It's well worth it, let me tell you. From 92.9 Kick FM Studios in downtown Winnipeg, until next Wednesday night, we wish you good night and good luck.
The Illegal Curve has been presented by Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Richard Pollack. Tune in again next Wednesday at 7 for more of what you love. Don't slow down.